The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Now,
he gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah, we're going to suck again because there's no Fred Kirsch on the show today. Do we know where Fred is?
I don't know.
Is he
on his massive estate, probably lounging in the in-ground pool, listening to his Bose sound system, being rich as always.
You're saying Fred gets paid?
I don't know where he gets his money from, but he's got a lot of nice stuff.
Well, Wes Welker didn't get his money, and we're going to be talking about that today. Eric Scalavino sitting in the host chair, Paul Perillo.
$9.5 million.
Andy, well, relatively speaking.
Relative to me, that's a whole hell of a lot of money.
Yes, I know. But to him, he's probably a little upset this morning, wouldn't you say?
Is this what's going to happen the whole show? Let me know.
This is what happens every show, Paul.
Yeah, okay. I'm ready.
Paul's back.
Oh, boy. How was the vineyard, Paul?
It was great.
It was great, yeah.
Despite
see the whale sightings
again?
When is
your Logan Mankins voice right there?
Despite my rampant herpes simplex tan that
he
I have
does.
Going on.
I mean, the guy.
What happened to you?
I got some
lips are more broken out than a cheap prostitute.
You know, they have this thing called chapstick.
Yeah,
works
thanks.
Pretty well.
Yeah,
you know,
they have this thing.
Chapsticks now prevent viruses.
What are you suggesting, Andrew?
I'm suggesting that Paul needs to.
He used to suggest that until he came in with a huge cold sore one day, and no longer that was the reason that you get cold sores.
Yeah. Kevin, any movies you want to spoil for us today? No. Okay, good.
Kevin, only you, when I'm on vacation, can draw the ire of everybody on my emails and Twitter account. They're like, what's wrong with your boy? Got people
proper
all
response
up in arms.
To that is, not my boy.
See, he's a moron. What do you want me to tell you?
Not
I think
my
it's been
boy.
Well established over the past couple of years. He's a moron.
All right.
But it's never his fault.
No. Of course not. And lunch.
Well, it isn't really. It's genetics. He's a moron. He was born a moron.
Lunch
well,
orders have
no,
been getting messed up.
Parents are not morons.
That's true.
Since you've been gone too, lunch orders have been getting messed up too. So
what's going on? Are you okay, Kevin?
The usual girl is back today, so hopefully we'll be all right.
See, I told you it was the girl on
no,
the phone.
No, she had
ass. I
told
you.
The woman who usually takes our order every single day had her teeth out, wisdom teeth out.
Her teeth out.
How old is she?
What do you do on
this? I guess I think at home.
Maybe that's part of the problem. You're getting a little bit too in depth on the conversation.
Well, no, because
just order and hang up.
Because the girl that screwed it up last week, I think twice, the manager ended up giving me a call on my cell phone and apologizing and saying,
"We are a good customer."
Was.
Well, Jesus
yeah.
is
yeah,
a good customer.
What, and that's what
yes.
we said.
Well, webradio@patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. If you want to call and vent about Wes Welker not getting paid, or if you want to rejoice that the Patriots did the right thing fiscally for their future.
What if you want to rant about something else?
Anybody
you can do that too.
Any static?
No.
Only unless, you know, you want to start trouble.
I got something.
Because the kids like to call that static, Paul.
Anyway, I want to rant and rave about one, Rob Gronkowski receiving too much criticism.
For his gay comments?
I didn't know he made any gay comments.
He made some gay comments.
Well, what did he say?
He said it'd be cool if he had a gay teammate as long as he respected, you know, being a teammate and doing things in the locker room the right way. And it was during the ESPYs last week. He was on the red carpet and somebody from a gay sports website was asking him questions. That's what it was billed at. The guy tried
to get...
Do
they play our soundbite from Wes Welker?
I don't know. Maybe
on their website.
Maybe they, maybe they do.
Kind of gay.
Anyway, but what
I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of gay.
Everybody, you know, the Globe had this little throwaway note, two, three paragraphs about, you know, the Patriots have told that Rob Gronkowski that the summer of Gronk is over.
To settle down?
I don't get it. Every time I look up, somebody's being arrested on another team for, half of them for DUIs.
DUIs, beating up their mothers.
Right.
Doing
I mean,
ridiculous...
Rob Gronkowski did a TV show, went to an award show, like...
Maybe his mother was, you know, giving him some lip. You know?
I hope it's not
were
your
you saying
lip.
She had it coming?
Yeah. How do you know?
I don't.
You guys are so judgmental. It's typical. It's really ridiculous. Sometimes your
these
mother...
These Italians with their wife beaters, they're okay with it.
Sometimes your mother...
You're looking at an Italian that, when that, you say that,
that's,
though.
That's not funny. I was being sarcastic. That's not funny. See, Eric, the only group that you can still make fun of.
I just think the criticism is unfair of Rob Gronkowski. And, Eric, you kind of led the criticism on Patriots.com on the debate Friday last week.
But you are really a bad, bad person.
You really are.
But, I mean, seriously, the Patriots haven't had anyone arrested, certainly not Gronk. And, you know, we all know from YouTube that there are videos where he's having a good time and probably partaking in adult beverages.
No,
but
it
ends up with him... You know, going home and sleeping, not getting arrested and appearing in the blotter.
By all accounts, and...
I'm not saying he won't eventually.
No,
but
look, we've known Gronk for a couple of years now, and based on the limited dealings we have with him, he seems like a good kid.
Yep.
He's obviously a little bit...
Dumb.
Immature.
Oh. And immature.
And you would expect that from a kid who's his age. He came out of school early. He's a young... He's basically still a frat boy. He's still a college kid who now has sudden fame, sudden wealth... And he's enjoying his life like a college kid probably would.
And brothers.
And he has a lot of brothers who are about the same age.
That adds to it.
Of course.
I mean, he has all these brothers that's what brothers do. Have fun, go out.
Exactly.
Now they have a guy who can pay for it and get them into the cool party or to the cool TV show or whatever. Yeah. I think that's natural.
My criticism on the debate,
High
the Samsonite Make Your Case
soapbox
was, those are your words.
They were accurate.
Was not that he was doing all these things, because, like you said, he's not going out getting arrested for, you know, beating
anything.
Up women or anything at all. He's not doing anything criminal.
No Roethlisberger, no Marshawn Lynch,
no
Adrian Peterson,
not
no
at all.
Dez Bryant.
My only concern is that...
You're picking on Dez Bryant again. All he did was hit his mother.
My only concern is that there's been so much of it, and so much of it has been covered, that I hope that he has been doing an equal amount of... preparation for football season.
And we know he has.
And for rehab.
I mean, he's the man who
I like to give him the benefit of the doubt, but
does
I just
push-up contest with his brothers and puts it on YouTube.
I just want to express that concern, because there's a little bit of me that says, okay, because look, after 2001, they won the Super Bowl. Tom Brady was
Gronk
enjoying...
Wasn't here. He was
no, he wasn't
school.
Here, but Tom Brady was enjoying the fruits of that offseason as a young kid his age would be expected to be. And they didn't make the playoffs that next year, and a year or so later he admitted that he thinks he probably had a little too much fun that offseason and wasn't concentrating.
I'll tell you why they didn't make the playoffs. They weren't that good in 2001. They didn't have enough talent. When they got the talent, they were good again and won the Super Bowl.
But for a player of Brady's caliber to come out and say that...
Yeah, because he's really settled down. He's in freaking, what do they call that? Carnival and Costa Rica.
Spends a lot less time here now than he did then, I'll
tell
you that.
Building 25 billion square foot mansions.
But I mean, I know what Eric's point is.
And all he does is have career year after career year.
It's not a concern.
Let's hope
for me. And by the way, he had a career year that year.
Right. Well,
the first of his career years, because a lot of people didn't think he could do that, what he did in 2002.
Right.
Sort of become a passing team and throw for 4,000 yards and all that stuff. People didn't think that he would ever be that kind of quarterback. They thought he was the quote-unquote game manager and, you know, the Trent Dilfer type that was along for the ride. Obviously, he's proven that to be... false. But I'm with Andy on the whole Gronk thing. I'm not as... I don't find this topic to be as gripping as a lot of other people do. I mean, what these guys... As long as they're not getting in trouble, that's why I agree with Andy.
Which a lot of them are.
When they get in trouble, then it becomes news. To me, what Rob Gronkowski wants to do... Mesko was in Jamaica recently.
That's the only thing that I think is different is Gronk's a star.
Gronk right. has star power, and Sergio Brown, who's at the club, doesn't. And yeah, Zoltan Mesko, who's been to Romania, Loudon, which is a little closer
that's
than Romania.
Very, that's a lot Romania, that's a little different, too. I
but
mean,
it, he's from there. They yeah. all do it. They all go everywhere.
It's like he went home.
They all go everywhere, and like Gronkowski's the only one who's criticized. Just because he's a bigger star.
I really understand. Well, I think Gronkowski is criticized because of the volume.
Yes,
of what
exactly.
He's
been doing it since the Super Bowl.
My point is, you don't know what everybody else is doing because nobody monitors their every move because they're not stars.
No, but when these players are here for minicamp and OTAs and you ask them, oh, how's your offseason been going? Most of them say they've hardly done anything.
Yeah, but you know that's not true. I mean, Nick McDonald will probably say nothing, and he was at Loudon in the pits with Mesko. I don't know what they're doing.
But I don't think Gronkowski... I don't think being in the pits at Loudon would be one of these things that people would be like...
No, God forbid you do an ESPN The Magazine cover. You do a two-hour photo shoot with no clothes on.
I already told you up front I agree with you. I don't know why you're
Then why are you arguing with me?
I don't know why you're so argumentative today, other than the fact that, it, you know, at the last, you know, ends in day.
Larry has a bone to pick with us, Paul, because he says, what about the Irish? We're fair game also.
That's true. You're right, Larry. Absolutely. I always say the Irish and Italian Catholics in general... They're the only two groups that you're allowed to
continue to make fun of. I think most still are. Portuguese you can still make fun of. It's not popular because it's not thought of as like this. It's not a big nationality to like poke fun at.
Hey, new guy.
Down my way, Portuguese are fair game.
It's 11 minutes. We haven't heard a syllable from the new guy.
Well, that's not unusual.
Are you here?
Well, yeah, I'm here.
He's shying away from contact.
Don't shy away from contact.
Not feeling very argumentative today.
Oh, well, all right. Well, here's the door then. You can get your lunch and leave.
But anyway.
But I do agree with you, Andy. I'm not arguing with that. I'm not saying that Gronk deserves to be criticized for these things, because I don't. I think, to the contrary, what a young guy does with his life, I didn't think he deserved to be really criticized for dancing after the Super Bowl the way he was.
Oh, me either.
But I do think there's a difference between the ESPN The Magazine thing and being at Loudon for a race.
Why?
Kevin, can you look up the
ESPN The Magazine takes less time.
Make your case thing.
I don't care. It doesn't bother me one bit that...
Well, why'd you bring it up then?
I'm saying to say that no one said anything about whoever the...
Nick McDonald
being in Loudon. No one would have said anything about Rob Gronkowski being in Loudon either.
I think they would have.
It's not the same thing as being with...
They would have. It's a witch hunt. Oh, God forbid you have fun. Take advantage of your lot in life.
I don't have a problem with him having fun, but there are
really
people
matters.
Who have. And I don't think they would consider the Loudon the same thing as the ESPYs and all that other...
Why?
You know, glitz and glamour ESPYs? That he seems to be surrounded with all the time.
Why can't you go to the ESPYs? Half the athletic world was at the ESPYs.
He was
ripping all them?
He was up for awards, too.
Right.
So he had a reason to go.
But, again, I mean, literally,
not,
that audience
I have
is made
no
up
problem
of
with him being anywhere that he wants to be. I don't really care. And the other point that I really agree with Andy about, this whole, well, the Patriots have come in and put their foot down, which I'm a little skeptical of to begin with. But even if they have... They have for everybody else, too. Summer's over. It's the middle of July. You know, a week from Thursday, we will all be on the field.
Yep.
And Rob Gronkowski will be before that because he's an injured player who will have to be back before everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So the summer of Gronk is over? Yeah. No kidding.
Right.
The summer of everybody in the NFL is over
the
right
summer
now.
Summer of Andy
the
is
calendar,
certainly over.
The calendar tells us that the summer
anybody involved in the NFL, the summer of you is over
exactly.
right now.
Exactly. That includes us.
So to make
Otherwise,
a big deal out of the summer of Gronk is over, I mean... That's, I think, a little foolish. And as much as he's a big head hothead over there, I agree with him.
Okay. So on Monday, 4 o'clock, the deadline came and went. There was no deal for Wes Welker, no long-term deal.
That leap of faith didn't really work.
It sure didn't for him. But I can't say I'm surprised.
Me either.
I'm on the fence as to whether I'm disappointed or not. Because part of me thinks... You know, he's done everything you can ask of a player of his caliber to do. He's, in some ways, exceeded expectations. Thank you.
In some ways. In every way.
Well, but when they signed him, you thought, you know, that...
I didn't think he was going to catch 500
passes over the next
5 years.
No, I didn't think he would catch that many passes over 5 years. But he's...
Paul referred to him as loose change.
He's been...
That is correct.
I believe overpaid loose change at the time, which I agreed with.
That is also correct.
No, but
I don't back down from my stupid statements.
Look,
unfortunately,
which one?
Unfortunately.
The one where you wanted to give him $50 million in the middle of last season, or the original? Which stupid one?
The $50 million one I am going to back down from. You're right about that.
Flippity floppity.
That was speaking out of emotion after one game.
But he's done everything you could ask.
Sure.
He's been a good
foot soldier?
He's been I was trying not to use
put
that
phrase. Put his best foot forward, yes. So to speak, every
right.
week.
Right. He dipped his toes in the water.
Not afraid right. to go in all in the middle, right. not even dip his toe in.
But wouldn't that represent
doesn't
like
pussy
the
foot
only...
across the middle?
But wouldn't that represent
that one? No, I don't think
only,
he did.
The only possible
what
negative check on his 5 years here would be that,
that comment?
Press conference.
Negative. It depends on if you think that.
I said possible.
Yeah,
negative.
Possible.
I think he was just having fun.
He
and
did have a fight
obviously...
last week at his whatever.
Oh, before his wedding.
Yeah.
Well, but he didn't get arrested for it.
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't hold that against him.
And he didn't get arrested.
And he didn't hit his mother. So
the fact that the cops came and said that everything was handled with such professionalism tells me that he didn't do anything wrong.
That he paid him.
Boy, you are.
You really. Seriously.
A miserable, miserable, negative little man.
And so part
with
of me,
very, very big head.
Part of me is I don't want to say sad because I mean he is still getting $9.5 million, but
and here,
yeah,
there's no door that closed.
No. But I think the odds now are less in his favor that he's going to be here longer term.
I'm not so sure
because, well, the way I see it is. He plays out this year. He said he would do that. He has 9.5 million reasons to do so. He's going to play out the year, unless the team decides they want to trade him before week 8, which I'd...
Not going to
happen. I think it's a possibility.
Yeah. They're not going to upset the apple cart in the middle of the season.
They might not, but I think it's still... there's a possibility there that they, instead of letting him... Instead of going through all of this all over again, next February, March, April, throughout the offseason, instead of not franchising him and letting him walk... They might decide they want to get something in return for him while they still can. If he's on pace for another 100-catch season, by the middle of the season, they might say, you know what? Maybe it's time to get what we can get for him.
Okay, percentages that he'll be traded.
25. Zero. 25%.
1.1.
I would say less than 10.
Me too.
But I do understand Eric's point of view. I would say it would be less than 10. Now, if you ask me, percentages Richard Seymour would be traded during training camp of 2009. I would have said
zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
If you asked me, Randy Moss traded right. at the trading down, I would have said zero. So,
yeah, I just don't think. I think timing wise for everybody, it makes more sense. He may be traded after the season. We're talking about in season.
I'm talking in season right now. Yeah.
He may be traded after the season. They could franchise him.
Oh, franchise him and trade him again.
That may happen.
That's not what I'm talking about.
I think there's very, very little chance that another team's going to because now he would have money extending him.
Right, but he would in that scenario he would have to sign first.
Yeah,
he'd have to sign his tender before they sign.
He would.
That's a formality. That's
whatever team they trade him to is going to want. Is going to sign him, so he's getting what he wants.
No, but I mean, they can't trade him unless he's signed.
Yeah, but that's a formality, is what I'm saying. I know Bill Belichick likes to use that as a big stumbling block in trades. It's not. If you trade a guy, you go and say, "Listen, we're trading you to Kansas City. You need to sign your tender."
Oh, and by the way, Kansas City's going to give you $62 million.
That's how it works.
And Wes goes,
and I know Bill always says, "Well, first of all, we can't trade him. He hasn't signed his tender." Yeah, technically that's true. It's kind of like his Giants thing. Well, I know the Giants wouldn't do, well, no one asked you that, Bill. I know the Giants wouldn't do that.
But I think there's actually a chance he'll be back. I was surprised to hear that they had negotiated kind of yesterday. I thought we had reached the point where it wasn't going to happen. I said it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was too far apart. You know, we'd had this 2 year, $16 million. If that was really like an offer, I didn't really think, I thought there was a long way to go. And to hear that they talked yesterday and were to the point where, there was actually a discussion, worth having a discussion because mm-hmm. there was some sort of advancement, I think that's interesting. And, you look at it, I think we all expect his production to drop this year, not necessarily because of him, but because...
Who they've added.
They've added people, yeah. And, they have other stars now in Gronkowski and Hernandez who are going to get theirs. And so there's a chance he doesn't have 120... whatever, two catches this year. If he's under 100, if he's now brought back to reality, I think the price tag theoretically goes down. Now you're a 32-year-old receiver whose production is quote-unquote dropping. That may make it easier for them to come to some sort of an agreement. Because I think he may have to come to reality and say, and now I'm not even a 120-catch guy. I'm a slot guy. I'm 32. I'm not getting $50 million.
That's a logical argument that you put forth, but
most of mine are.
What? No, that's why I'm surprised by it.
Ball's just eating.
What if he starts buying into all of these columnists and opinion pieces that are coming out today saying, oh, boy, Welker got screwed.
Oh, then he's done. He'll buy. Peace.
No, but and then he gets franchised next February, the end of February, and says, you know what? F you. I'm not signing.
That's fine.
Play hardball now.
I don't think there's any way he gets franchised next year, personally, unless it's done ahead of time and they know they're trading him.
Well, I mean, there's always a way.
I don't see it.
Gronkowski and Hernandez who would blow up their ACLs.
To me,
it's
like trading him now before the season. There's a way.
Yeah.
You know, like that Eric mapped out. Yeah, it could happen. I just don't.
I think it's unlikely.
I think it's a very small percentage. I think it's way too much money. I don't think they'll do it.
Well, who do you think would be a target then for the tag at that point?
Well, I don't know.
You don't have to tag somebody.
I mean, first of all, you don't have to use it. But
I know you don't have to use it, but
Sebastian Vollmer will be up. Patrick Chung will be up.
That's why I'm asking.
I mean, it could be one of a number of people.
I would say Chung. Because theoretically, if he has a great year this year, mm-hmm. now he thinks he's in the upper echelon of $35 million safeties. Well, he only proved it for 1 year. I'll tag you, and we'll talk next year.
And a very affordable number, by the way, for safties. Safeties is a very affordable franchise.
That's the market now, as we've heard, right?
Right. That's the market.
Tyvon Branch numbers. Andy's starting to eat.
I mean, that's
yeah, you're a little quiet.
Now it's okay that he
eats. Exactly.
See, new guy, this is the irony that is Andy. He can make fun of you.
It's called hypocrisy.
He can make
irony.
Fun of you that you are correct, Eric. Thank you for correcting my English as you want to do. That's want with a no. Andy
that
likes
to. That is the douchebaggery and pomposity of Eric.
Andy likes to correct you for things that he'll then do himself.
Right, because he can do it. No one else can.
Anyway, this is around the time we normally take a break to eat, right?
Is it? Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right, Paul. It's 12:22. We have to take that 12:22 break. We'll be right back after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school! Set! Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're gonna work out. So we get in the elevator and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
Well, hopefully Fred is off having some dreams and stories that he can tell when he comes back on the show next week.
I'm sure they're about units. Somebody's unit somewhere.
Probably. Paul, disturbing development while you were gone. Fred has been having way too many dreams about work. Really, like, serious work-related dreams. And it's making me think that he's overworked.
And not about Ray Ray.
No. Sadly.
I told you, that happens to me way too often.
But you're not overworked.
You are overweight.
From the guys that have been in the building for like 3 out of the last 28 days
each. It's the summer of Andy and
everyone else.
Oh, but he's been...
You know what time it is now! That's right. By the way, the Gino thing is now going to be a classic. I saw that Glenn Farley officially reported that he's out.
Oh, really?
Sports Hub this year.
Last
year
Gino.
For Gil Santos.
Yeah, Fred was going to write his edit letter on this past issue. You guys might not be familiar with the past issue because you guys had nothing to do with it.
Oh, my God. From the guy who takes...
Undreaded.
That's right. Sometimes mistakes happen when someone's doing it all by
himself. What did I tell you? We had this conversation last week before you came back, and I quoted you verbatim right there.
Well, I have to give you what you want. So anyway, Fred was planning on writing about the radio tandem for his edit letter. He talked to someone over there, and they requested that we hold off.
To let Glenn Farley break it?
Evidently.
That's too bad.
See, that's what happens in the journalism business, and that's the difference between, you know, sort of being, you know, in the mainstream media in terms of journalism and sort of being under an umbrella. And sometimes you take one in the teeth.
Yeah. So no more hello.
Or elsewhere.
It's goodbye.
That's sad.
Oh, well, that is sad. We're going to miss Gino.
Big Gino fan.
Miss Gino on the road.
Well, I won't.
No, because you guys don't travel.
Travel anymore.
No stories from you from your vacation, Paul? Nothing? No story time with Paul Perillo? No fights with anybody?
I unfortunately did not have a single fight.
Nothing.
Which I actually, as you know, when I go to these kinds of things,
you
I
look
sort
for
of
that. You seek it out.
Well, I sort of I have in my mind I have to
bring
be on the lookout
back.
To remember.
Right.
So I have a good story to bring back. I didn't have anything, even in the least bit confrontational, which was unfortunate.
No, that's too bad.
I did meet a huge Patriots fan.
Did he pester you the whole time?
No, quite the opposite. He was. He asked me a few questions here and there, but guy who was a big part of, you know, I don't want to say the marketing here, one of the clients, a heavy hitter. so to
speak. A heavy
hitter,
sure.
He's been at all the Super Bowls and sometimes accompanies the team on trips, which sometimes you see some of the clients be invited. Big time fan, and he liked our work and whatnot, so that was
nice. That's good. All right, we're talking about Wes Welker today, the fact that he didn't get a long-term contract extension. Talking about Gronk, is he overexposed? Andy doesn't seem to think so. Paul kind of doesn't seem to think so. Darren has no opinion whatsoever. He's just mooching our lunch over here.
That too. And I don't think so.
Fans, though, are it's split decision among the populace. In our Samsonite Make Your Case argument that Andy and I did last Friday, yes, he's overexposed, 49%. No, he's not, 51%. So Patriot Nation, a little torn on that question. Don't know if you guys saw, but Patriots are still a rich team, valued at $1.4 billion, I believe. But they've dropped in terms slightly in terms of total team value of all franchises.
Because our show keeps dropping. And that's led to the drop in revenues.
Why does our show keep dropping?
I don't know, because the NFL unleashed a new platform.
Oh, the stream, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant
we have a weak stream.
Yeah. Well, we had one emailer call.
Oh, we have more than one. I've already seen a few.
But when you said it was dropping,
ridiculous.
I thought you meant the ratings.
Yeah, I thought you meant
the
ratings, too.
No, the rating. But sooner or later, it's going to affect our ratings if people can't listen to the show. They're going to get annoyed and just go away.
And it's the NFL's fault.
You yelling at them all the time.
I'm not yelling at the listeners. I feel bad for them. They want to listen to us, and they have to, every 10 minutes, 20 minutes, it stops. You got to redo it. So that's why they should go to iTunes or one of those other providers that, you know, isn't an idiot.
They also didn't get to see any sharks on vacation.
You were hoping to?
I wasn't hoping to, but I thought it would be.
Can you imagine the shark's eyes lighten up when he sees Paul?
There was a.
You don't think I was in the ocean? Like, I stuck to
He might get scared. He might turn away. And
I legitimately didn't want the kids to go in the ocean.
I think it's a killer whale.
They did. I let them, but I was not happy.
There was
a
story in the paper last week.
What a pussy.
There was actually there was a photo.
Great whites everywhere. What a pussy.
When was the last time somebody got eaten here?
Well, that's what I was just about to tell you. There was a story last week on the Cape. This guy takes his family down to the Cape, and his daughter, young daughter, had heard report or read in the paper that there was shark sightings off the coast of the Cape. And she said, "Dad, we better be careful when we get in the water because there's sharks around here." And he sort of laughed it off and said, "Ah, don't worry."
The kayaker you're talking
about? The kayak
about?
Guy. Oh, yeah.
It was a vegetarian shark.
Yeah, but you knew that.
It was
an
algae shark or something.
You know what the worst thing was?
How is he supposed to know that when he's out there paddling and he sees the fin coming up out of the water?
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Who cares?
Go
when was
it?
The last time a shark ate somebody on the Cape?
When was
the last time
we had
Mr. Tough Guy, if you were out there on your little paddle board, you wouldn't have
summer.
Scurried back to shore?
I would have scurried, but it wouldn't keep me from going to the Cape and going swimming.
I didn't say that. It should.
As long as I don't look like a baby seal, I'm fine.
You look like a walrus.
I did
more
have,
and more
I did
nowadays.
I have a black bathing suit on. They said not to wear black bathing suits.
Black bathing suit, white T-shirt.
Yeah, but they know how, the size of baby seals, and you're not.
That's a fair point, though, Andy.
When it's not a killer whale they're looking for.
When I was in Chatham like 3 weeks ago, I was swimming. Didn't think anything of it. Like 20, 25 feet away, I hear this huge splash, and I'm like, oh, brother. And I look, and it's just this giant seal just sunning himself. And I was like,
I'm sorry, but I couldn't get out of the water fast enough if I saw a seal that close, because that's exactly what they say is to stay away from the seal.
And that's what I did. I flew. I mean, I swam straight in. But he was just kind of playing, and he came up with a fish in his mouth and all that. But I was like, I'm not swimming with the food at all.
Because you'd be swimming with the fishes after that.
Wah, wah, wah.
TG and NJ emailing in at webradio@patriots.com. Squidward's upset that the ESPY reporter didn't ask Gronk about gay journalists in the locker room. Paulie, welcome back. Please don't let Squiddy and Andy take over the show with their cartoon-esque bickering. We're not cartoon-esque when we bicker.
And my bickering with Paul is not cartoon-esque?
No, that's factual. That's informative.
We just put you on, got, we just put on 30 a, second, on a front.
30 seconds into the show. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah, we can hear that. Just so you know, that's your greatest.
You have an open mic
the
over there,
yet.
Rookie. TG continues. Do you guys think the Pats are waiting until the end of training camp to figure out the Welker situation? If they don't pay the man, how does that reflect the rest of the league?
Well, they can't wait till the.
Yeah,
end
they can't. I mean, it's a moot point now. They have to wait till February or March.
I mean, I guess you could kind of agree on a deal, but you can't do anything about it until next year.
Yeah, and they're not supposed to do that.
I don't know. Are they not supposed to do that, Paul? How does that work? You're not allowed to negotiate at all?
I know the Giants wouldn't be doing that, Andy.
Because remember Richard Seymour had his thing where he couldn't renegotiate his deal twice in a year, and he had to wait from one to the next, and blah, blah, blah.
Is there still that rule?
I think you can talk.
I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but it would seem to me kind of silly to say they can't talk.
Right. You just can't actually do it. You can't give him a bonus of, you know, $20 million.
Can't file the papers with the league.
That can't happen.
Yeah, in other words, if he came out and caught, like, you know, 50 passes in the first 4 weeks, you couldn't sit there and say, oh, you know what?
Now we'll give
him the
extension.
We're being silly. We're going to give you your money. I don't.
Conversely, if he tears his ACL in December, you don't have to give him the deal that you said we might give you in September.
Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right. Move on.
Okay. TG, I'll take Gronk's antics over the usual DUIs we're seeing this time of year, and maybe the NFL should have lobbied for more off-season activities in the CBA negotiation. It would help their personal conduct policy.
What?
I don't really get that argument.
More practices?
Maybe off-season team activities.
You can still go drinking after practice.
Very true.
Right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, I don't see why not.
I'm also a little hesitant to say that Gronk is never going to get a DUI.
Well,
so I don't want to go all in down the Joe Paterno road and then find, oh, he's not the saint I thought he was. I don't think he's a saint. So far, he has made good decisions, and he hasn't done anything that's led to police investigations, arrests, anything. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen down the road.
Yeah.
So I just want to...
No, I know. It's just... I mean, he's...
Anybody who drinks could get a DUI.
They could, yes.
But you just make good decisions.
He's seen...
Like Jason Kidd didn't make a good decision when his wife made him leave the bar, and he drove back to the bar,
exactly.
And then drove through a telephone pole.
Yeah. Brian from Essex, I really don't think the Welker situation was a surprise. From what I read, Welker simply wanted next year's money guaranteed. Wasn't looking for extra money, wasn't looking for lots of years, just wanted the equivalent of this year and next year's tag guaranteed. And while I think Welker deserves it for his body of work, a team like the Patriots just doesn't work that way. You can't pay for past performance, you have to plan for the future, and dedicating $11.4 million prevents the Pats from being flexible throughout the entire season. As far as Gronk, he originally rejected the interview because he was afraid he'd say the wrong thing and get blown up by the media for it. And as of this morning, I've already seen a couple of articles being critical of Gronk's responses. Go figure.
Now they're just looking for it, though, because how long ago was that?
Last week?
Yeah. 7 days? 6 days? Whatever. I mean,
right.
If he said something bad in this day and age, it would have
been
on Twitter 10 minutes later.
Right. Right. And
so now you're just overanalyzing what he said. And what did he say that was wrong?
Nothing.
Well, I know.
Gays and homosexuals are somewhat offended by the whole, you know, they're going to be attracted to every penis they see in the locker room. So it's like this weird thing that is kind of offensive to them. But I think all he's saying is as long as you're a professional teammate,
exactly.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't here when, I was on vacation when this came out, but
no,
I haven't
didn't
really,
know it came out until Eric told me
I
today.
Haven't heard any criticism.
When did
though,
it come
either.
Out and where?
It was a site called Outsports.com.
With the criticism from
the No, not the criticism.
Where's the criticism is what I'm
I have not seen the criticism.
That's my point. I mean, people are claiming now, go figure, now people...
Well, I think it probably will, and if something happens a week later, it's manufactured.
I think he was actually, like, praised for his... People thought he handled it pretty well.
I mean, based on what Eric read...
You know his publicist was going, cross fingers.
But based on what Eric read, I thought he handled it...
I think he's fine.
...extremely professionally.
Yeah. Apparently, the reporter, it was a credentialed reporter, apparently, was on the red carpet, went up to Gronk and tried to get him to do an interview. He initially declined because he was a little worried, like Brian said in his email, that he was going to say something, you know, offensive
hot
or wrong.
Hot-button topic
or,
like
hot
that.
Hot-button topic. Right.
They come up, slavery, Hitler, if they want to ask about those types of things,
right.
I stay away.
The writer, apparently... This is from reports here. Apparently, the writer sold Gronk, saying it's ESPN for homos. That's in quote. And so Gronk agreed to do two questions. The first one was...
Wait a minute. That sold
him? I don't know. This is according to the story that I'm reading here.
Gronk.
The first question was, have you ever had a gay teammate? Have you ever played with a gay teammate? He said, I don't know.
He said, what do you mean by had?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He just said, I don't know. His next question was what his thoughts were about playing alongside a gay teammate. He said, if that's how you are, that's how you are. I mean, we're teammates, so as long as he's being a good teammate and being respectful and everything, that's cool. End quote.
Right.
Nothing wrong with anything
that
he said.
And he's had a gay teammate. We don't know who it is necessarily. He's had a gay teammate.
You're saying the odds are that he's had one?
Yeah. And my...
Should we go off into that strip? Should we
no.
try to guess?
But he's had a gay teammate. I mean, you don't play... I mean, how many people are on a college football roster? 90 guys at Arizona for
Maybe
three
more.
Years.
Yeah.
And now, you know, 90 guys here in the spring, he's had a gay team.
There's no chance that he's never played
right
with at least one person.
Right.
But I think that those answers to me are
nothing at all wrong with anything.
Yeah, and if he gets criticized for that, I'd be surprised. I mean, and I'm talking like legitimate criticism, not some like, you know, not some 75-year-old man in like the Bible Belt somewhere saying, no, it's wrong and whatever. I'm talking about legitimate criticism from a legitimate source.
ESPN homos. I'm still trying to get over that.
I don't see him taking heat for that.
Is that okay?
Well, I don't know if the guy who said it was. Well,
isn't it kind of like I can call myself a guinea, but I don't want you calling me
a
guinea?
It could be.
Or the N-word.
Yeah.
That get thrown around.
You know, your little thing about slavery and Hitler? I like to stay away from the N-word.
Too. Right. Mm-hmm. But.
That's just me.
People of color don't always. I mean, Chad Ochocinco uses it a lot.
And he uses it as a term of endearment in a lot of cases.
I don't think we can.
No. For any reason.
No. But I think that's funny that sold him on it. It's ESPN. For
well, the story said it sold him on it. I don't know if that's true.
Well, you can't. He talked, so something sold him.
He did talk.
Him.
Something sold him, but, you know.
He was uncomfortable at first, and then the guy said ESPN homo. Okay, sure. What is going on here?
I don't know. But as long as he shows up next week and starts, you know, running around and is catching passes.
And what if he doesn't? What if he has 30 catches and 4 touchdowns this year?
Well, but
was
that
it because he went to the ESPYs?
No, but that might not be a product of his offseason either.
But you know how that works, Andy. That's a perception reality thing.
Right.
That's going to be the perception.
Right.
And once it becomes something like that, it's hard to say, well, it really has nothing to do with
only
it.
Only
really.
Reasonable people like me analyze it.
Yeah, you're the only one. How about this? How about
a fruit fly in here?
Guys that open camp on PUP.
What about it?
Get some candidates?
Yeah, we talked about that on the roster report
the
other day.
Podcast, Paul. We don't need you to tell us what to do.
Sorry.
We were thinking.
I didn't realize you guys were actually in.
Logan Mankins.
Such a fat, obnoxious bastard.
We talked about Logan Mankins being a possibility.
Well, they're all possibilities, even if it's just for a day.
Sebastian Vollmer being another.
I said Spikes no.
I said Spikes no as well. It was our most agreeable podcast ever. We agreed on everything that we talked about.
I don't think we agreed on everything.
Yeah, we did.
Uh-uh.
Now we're not agreeing on everything.
But yeah, we talked about Spikes with Hightower kind of looking over his shoulder and having to prove he can be a, you know, reliable guy for this team that, and based on the fact that he had his helmet on out at OTAs and appeared to be, you know, a half a step maybe ahead of some of the other guys, that he might not be a PUP guy.
I don't think, though, that Mankins is in jeopardy of being a regular season PUP guy.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he starts week
one. It certainly doesn't look
so, too.
Punch somebody in the
boots. I think Vollmer's more of a candidate for that. Just based on what we saw in the spring. The way they were running around doing the rehab.
I think they'll both be ready for the regular season, but I do think they're definite candidates for camp.
Yeah, I think Vollmer is a question just because it's a back injury and how healed is it. I mean, coming back from an ACL injury, Wes Welker wasn't 100% when he started the season, but he played because that's what you can do with an ACL injury. They know that you're healthy. You're not going to re-injure it, but you're not strength-wise, mobility-wise back. With a back injury, all bets are off, and who knows? I
mean. Yeah. Nathan from SoCal chiming in with a little word association game. For
Ooh,
the crew
like
today.
These. Jerk.
He says,
I like game.
Oh, wait. No, Darrell Revis. I thought he was here.
Oh, I like game.
He's got a list of players and wants us to say the first thing that comes to our mind. Okay.
First thing that comes to our mind is
dangerous. You can play, too. Open your mic.
I'm in.
We need to hear more than crumpling paper from you today.
Kyle Love.
Tree stump.
Blossoming.
Peaked.
Solid.
I was reacting to his word now. Hello? Is this thing
I'm
on
thinking.
Him?
Is he on the team?
This game is supposed to be quick. Just respond.
Overachiever.
You don't know anything about Kyle Love, do you?
A little bit.
Kyle Love.
Solid. We already used solid.
Overachiever.
No, Paul thinks he's blossoming.
He's an overachiever. He's a guy who came in last year, started, undrafted rookie the year before.
I think he's reached his ceiling.
Yeah, Mr. Pessimism over here, Paul.
No, that's not. If he's what he was last year, a capable starter, that's fine. I just think he's pretty much maxed out.
Why do you think he's maxed out? What do you don't think he's more has any more versatility?
He's a little one-dimensional.
He's one-dimensional. I saw him last year. I think at times he can get a little too high, gets pushed around. I just think he is what he is, and that's an undrafted player who's evolved into a borderline starter.
I think that's good. The reason I say blossoming is I thought as the year went on, especially down the stretch, I thought we seemed to see more of those plays where, and you know the ones that when he does the wrestling thing and he puts his big belly out in front of him, where he made some, you know, not just run-stuffing plays, but he gets some penetration and made plays in the backfield.
I'm also mildly concerned that he did about that.
I'm not saying he did that 15, 20 times. I'm saying a couple of times down the stretch.
I'm a little concerned he might be thinking he's more than he is.
Well, all right. Listen.
Based on that only.
Now you are negative.
On his celebrations on the field?
I think he's starting to think, I'm a starter. I'm a playmaker. I'm a force in here. And I want him to have a lunch pail with his head down, come to work, do your job.
When you've talked to him in the locker room, has he ever been anything other than that?
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'm talking about actions. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, but if he makes a big play on the field, you know, guys celebrate.
Oh, I have no problem celebrating big plays.
You think he's doing that off the field?
I think he might be buying into the fact that he started 13 games, whatever he started.
All right, I'll believe that when I see
negative,
it.
Negative little man.
I know, really.
Yet again.
For one of the nicer guys on the team.
Oh, he's very nice. What's very, very nice.
Next guy is
love him.
Gerard Warren.
Past
his prime.
Cut.
Safety.
He's a safety? No, I think he's a defensive lineman.
Safety net?
Yeah.
I mean, but you
I think whenever he calls, whenever the Patriots call, he can play.
Yeah.
He might. That might be stay through the end of training camp and get cut and come back. Anytime he cut, you know, he's the type of girl you'd like to have. That you could just call Eric when you need a little something, and she's there.
Gerard Warren is a booty call?
Essentially.
Stole my word. Just kidding.
You don't have any words. I'm asking you to provide a single word, and you can't do it. Jeez, the standards at Williams must have really dropped recently. One word.
We know they dropped the tops about 10 years ago.
Actually, they did it. Blah, blah.
All right, Gerard.
Did you not get into Williams?
I don't think I applied.
You don't think?
I turned him down.
You don't think?
I think after I visited on the little hairpin turn, one road in, one road out, I said, yeah, I don't think I can come here. Do you have a word yet?
For
Gerard Warren.
We're moving on.
Gerard Mayo. I say cut.
Bubble.
Gerard Mayo. Is
about
the next
his butt
one.
Or his status on the team?
Both.
Why are you looking at his butt?
Serviceable.
Who was the person
four
I missed?
Four words, it? Paul. Mayo.
Four words. Mayo. Serviceable is my word for Gerard Mayo.
Reliable.
Consistent. Hyphenated words, okay?
Sure.
Tackle machine.
Consistent.
Yeah, consistent works.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
I think all of those words are all.
Now, if I were negative, I'd have others, but I'm going to keep them to myself.
You are negative.
No, I don't
overpaid.
Think...
That didn't take long. Didn't have to twist the arm very
I'm
far.
I'm glad you kept it to yourself all that time.
Well, he told us
that
it was okay to talk about him when he left, and he'd come back and argue
he
with
did.
Us.
He did. That's true.
So, I'm talking about
so
him.
So when he comes back, you're going to say,
and he's going to run out that door.
While you were gone, Gerard, I
called you overpaid.
I said you were overpaid.
No, but we'll tell him when he walks in, and then we'll see Andy run for that door.
Leader.
And 7 yards past the door, he'll tackle me.
Hey. new guy just said leader.
Yeah.
He actually contributed.
Oh, that's a good one.
He contributed.
Well done.
He absolutely is a leader.
Okay,
you've
moving
missed,
on.
Like, the rapid-fire part of the game.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Brandon.
Didn't teach you that at Williams, did they?
Mm-mm. Brandon Dedrick. Bubble.
Serviceable.
Jag.
Don't know.
You don't know who he is?
Yeah. Serviceable is a good one for him, but I just used it for Mayo, and Dedrick is much higher than Mayo.
Right.
I mean, much below Mayo.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't want to use the same word.
He's on the bubble. He's going to risk getting cut.
He'll be on the team.
Which is kind of how I feel about this next one. Ron Brace.
Cut.
Waste.
Whoa.
Disappointing.
Kevin Collins. Douchebag. Two words, I know.
But no, it's okay.
Disappointing, Ron Brace.
Yeah, very much. That's probably the perfect word for it.
Great guy.
Perfect word.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Great guy.
Good guy. Local kid. Want to see him do well.
Does a lot of great things in the area, in his area, Western Mass, Springfield.
Mm-hmm.
Done nothing.
Has done nothing on the field. Very disappointing.
My only, on-field real memory of him is the Buffalo game.
Oh,
where
he was on roller skates.
Yeah, got pushed around. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably so. Other than that, I, have no record. I mean, he's... I think he started five games over his career. There's nothing there.
And he's been given opportunities, too.
Yeah. He's had some like injuries.
Yeah. It's not like he's never had a chance. Right. He's had some opportunities and just hasn't grasped.
And from day one, he was always behind somebody that was theoretically lesser than him.
Like a Kyle Love.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not the same position, but like that.
And Pryor,
I think,
right?
Position now.
Well, but Pryor?
Yeah.
Wasn't Pryor the one who, right from the get-go, was kind of ahead of him?
Yeah. Sixth-round pick was playing over the second-round pick.
Yeah. How many lunches are you going to eat over there?
I have one.
Well, first of all, that's a veggie burger. So
you eat veggie burgers?
Occasionally.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Next one is Razai Dowling. Fragile.
That's fragile. Breakout.
Potential.
What's it going to break?
Fragile.
Intriguing.
It must be Italian.
I think he's going to stay healthy this year and make plays.
Intriguing. He's intriguing.
That would be nice.
The size.
You know what's
going
to happen to him? He's going to make plays, and then it's going to be November, and just when you said, whew, he's healthy, he's going to
get like great.
Yeah. Yeah. Dante Hightower.
Dynamic.
I'm going to use the intriguing that you gave to Razai Dowling on this one.
Unsure.
I was trying
unsure
to be a little
of what he is and how we use him.
That's why he's intriguing to me.
I'm going
to
say potential again.
And Portly.
Portly.
I think he just makes plays. Dynamic.
He doesn't. He's not overly athletic looking. He's thick looking. He's like.
It's funny because he's fat.
He just kind of looks.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a big dude. He's going to need to lose some of that, I think.
Jake Beckett.
Flash.
Yeah.
I think he's going to flash early and then peter out.
Hype. A lot of hype around.
Hyped. It's probably what you mean. Yeah.
Overhyped.
He's correct. What an a-hole.
I think you mean overhyped or hyped.
No, I said hyped.
No,
Paul said overhyped.
I said overhyped.
I know. You're like correcting each other.
I'm not correcting him. I'm
building
saying,
on the word.
Yeah. He's saying he's hyped. I'm saying
Scrabble
he's overhyped.
Here.
It's a different word. I can explain it to you if you need to.
No, I don't need you to explain anything.
You had to go to Tufts.
I still think he has the best.
You're right. Could you explain to me how you get a D in the middle of drafted?
I mean, no one reads it.
I still think he has the potential to be a playmaker. Like you call him a flash, but I think if he's put in the right position, role
defensive
player.
End.
Yeah, if they're not asking him to go out there and start. No. I mean, not to go out there and start right away. Put him in a good position to succeed.
I agree.
I think he will make plays, and he might appear to be more than he
And then he can
really
sign
is.
Somewhere else, and they'll expect him to be more, and he won't. And
poor man's Jarvis Green.
Wouldn't he be a rich man? He was drafted higher.
He was drafted higher.
I don't think he's as good, so I think he's a poor man's.
I think he might be better. What if he's better?
Then I'd be wrong.
There's a fight coming here.
What do you mean?
It's
if, he's,
chair.
If he's better, then I'd be wrong.
Last one, Alfonso Dennard.
Intriguing.
Enigma.
Overrated.
Backup.
Overrated as a seventh-round pick?
No, well, we all know that he was a seventh-round pick because of his arrest. I didn't.
He might reach the point where he's like overrated, underrated, overrated.
Yeah, I don't think that he was worthy of second-round status that he had.
And we'll never know.
No.
Because we don't know where he actually would have gone.
No, that's true. Who knows? Maybe every single team said, well, I don't care about the arrest.
Right, he's just not that
good.
Well,
I know that he got drafted where they all thought he
should
have been drafted.
Or maybe the arrest cost him one round. He would have been a six, and he said he went to a seven or whatever. We'll never know that.
But I didn't love his tape. I know why he was available in the seventh round, but I didn't love his tape, and I thought, in reading a lot about him at the Combine,
because
you guys made me go.
Be doing it again this year.
I thought I saw a lot about Prince Amukamara sort of making him look better than he was. So that's why I
it's
say
possible.
Overrated.
That's a possibility. His coach seems to think otherwise.
Yeah.
Which is not a surprise. They always like to talk highly of their players when they leave, their former players. Wyatt?
Burp.
Right? Nope.
No.
Nope. Dodge. That's what he's going by. Writes in on the Welker situation. What happens if Welker gets injured for 7 weeks or more? What will the contract for next season be?
What?
If he gets hurt if he's injured for 7 weeks or more.
Get him.
What will the contract?
He's not guaranteed to get a contract next year. I mean, to try to say what will the contract be based on these different scenarios. I think there's at least a 50-50 shot he's gone after this year.
That they let him, that they don't tag him and he walks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it'll hurt his value. Is that the question?
I think that
would increase his chances of coming back, as strange as that sounds.
Oh, I think it would too.
I think his value on the open market wouldn't be anywhere near where he probably thinks it will be or should be, and that allows the Patriots to come in and keep him at the dollars that they probably were willing to do this year.
So what's the absolute minimum you think he would have to do this year, numbers-wise, for both he and the team to say, you know what, let's make this work? Like, that, like he doesn't get outrageous and get 120 catches again, or he doesn't completely suck and get, you know, 30 catches. Where's that in-between
number?
I think
the 85 to 90 range is, he's still an important part of the offense, but he comes to reality. You're not a 120 catch marquee guy.
85 to 90 is still a lot of. I mean, that's
but it's run of the mill.
But if you think he caught
like 90, last year, two guys caught 100 passes, and he was well ahead of the second guy. 85 to 90. Now you're in the ballpark of, you know, dozens of guys across the league. Most teams have a leading receiver that's in that range.
Sure, I agree. But don't you think if he caught 90, let's say he catches 90, he would be very valuable on the open market?
For a team how very valuable he'd be on the open market right now.
For a team that it's desperate for a receiver.
That's fair enough.
I saw what I thought was a pretty dumb comment by Ross Tucker on Twitter today where, sick of hearing that he's a system receiver. Every team has a slot receiver, and yet Welker has proven that he's just better. No. He's in the system. He's in the best offense in football.
Not every system accentuates a slot receiver.
Right. So you're missing the point. I think to some degree he is very much a system player. Now, I'm not saying there aren't other systems where he could be successful.
Yeah, I
but
totally
part of his success is about being in the New England offense, what they want to do, and having Tom Brady there to help him do it.
I mean, you could say that about a lot of different players, and I don't think it's inaccurate.
No.
I mean,
Ray Lewis was a system inside linebacker. When they took away the big guys in front of him, his career dropped. When they decided we're putting big guys in front of him again to help protect him, his numbers went back up and he found the fountain of youth.
Yeah, I mean,
does that mean he's not a Hall of Famer? No, it just means everybody who plays football, their job is tied into somebody else's.
The greatest show on turf, you know, was largely credited to the old Ernie Zampezi, Don Coryell offense with the vertical timing passes. Deep down the field, stretching the field, Kurt Warner was perfect for him. I'm not sure Brady would be great in that.
Right.
You know, and I have more respect for Brady than virtually any quarterback right now. But I'm not sure that would have been a perfect system for him. He's in a system right now that really accentuates his strengths. You know, getting the ball out quickly, you know, with timing stuff, a lot of short stuff, a lot of high completion percentage stuff that accentuates his accuracy. But I don't think he's as good with the deep ball as some other guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's a criticism. I just think it's kind of a point of fact.
It's the toughest throw to make, though, too, in football.
Yeah, but like Kurt Warner excelled at it. It was perfect for him. Whereas I think if you asked him to do the Patriots offense and dump the ball off to the, you know, throw a bunch of wide receiver screens and dump the ball off in the flat to check down, I don't think that would have been as good for him.
And I'm not sure all quarterbacks would say it's the toughest throw to make. Some
it certainly
guys
wasn't
can
for Bledsoe.
Bledsoe
was in it, and he was much better getting it down
Cincinnati,
the field than he was dumping
Jeff
it
Blake.
Off. Jeff Blake threw a gorgeous deep ball.
Yeah. Like, I think there are guys. Right. You know, Kevin O'Connell. I mean, I think he would have been better had they not asked him to actually throw it to running backs and tight ends 5 yards away.
How many times do we see, you know, Drew just drop one in right in the chest 55 yards downfield, right. But you ask him to hit Mark Edwards in the flat, and it would be at his feet or behind him or
up
something.
The safety or the receiver are you talking about in the chest?
No. You know what I'm talking about. Terry Glenn, Sean Jefferson. Might have heard of them. Wait a minute. You probably didn't.
No. That was before his time. Yeah.
That was a good one.
Mark and Cheddar says, guys, and the Hall of Famer.
Oh, that would be me.
That would be you, Paul. Great to hear Andy on the show last Thursday. I missed all the immature jokes. Eric talks a lot of sense.
Yeah, I have at least one fan.
Yeah, he goes on about the smoking ban we were talking about last week, the smoking ban at Gillette. Paul, we didn't get your thoughts on that.
I didn't know that we needed to have thoughts on that.
We spent most of the show last week
talking about smoking.
The shows that we missed, Paul, were about smoking and English Premier League soccer.
Well, Eric and Fred have been on a soccer kick the last couple of weeks. I should have warned you about that. That's my fault.
But anyway,
they succeeded in doing the impossible. They made me shut up for like 45 straight minutes.
Oh, and wait, how far it is from San Diego to L.A.
That's right.
A fact.
Yes.
They argued about a fact. They sent emails on a fact.
Well, yeah, but other people have been writing in saying, oh, but there's traffic to factor in, and it usually takes about 4 hours. Some people said it's quite, yeah, so there was all that to go about.
That's true.
Mark has a game for us.
Getting killed by Bruce Smith. Games.
Another game.
Now, is this a really, really simplistic one that our guy over here?
It's a which would you take.
So Darren will be able to play.
Okay.
All right. He's got to say a name.
A pair of names he's going to give us.
Pair of names.
Almost all of them are locks for the roster, but he wants us to keep one and cut one.
Okay.
So this is a completely hypothetical. Completely hypothetical.
So I'm yelling out. What do you want me to yell out?
The name of the player.
Who's staying on the roster.
Okay, the keeper.
You'd keep either. Okay.
Keep?
And there's only a handful.
You can only keep one.
Lloyd.
Hernandez.
I would keep Hernandez.
I would keep Lloyd.
Because?
Because they don't have that. They have Hernandez.
It's true. They didn't have that last year when Brady threw 5,000 yards and went to Super Bowl.
That's true.
That's why I would keep Hernandez because he's younger and more potential.
Very logical.
And hasn't played on 17 teams in 4 years.
Right. Very logical. I would keep Lloyd only because I know what they have with Hernandez.
That's fine. I can see that. Keep Chung or McCourty?
McCourty.
I'd say McCourty.
I would keep McCourty too. Tough as that is.
This is Mark and Cheddar?
Mark and Cheddar, yeah.
He has great games. He picks really, really good guys.
I'm going Chung.
Because?
I don't know.
Boy, was McCourty bad last year.
But he was really good the year before.
I think he was worse last year than he was good the year before.
I know, I see what you mean.
I'm a big fan of those.
I do. And you know my fear. I think he's a hardworking, good guy who's always prepared and ready to go and all that. So why did he suck last year?
So you'd rather
have no excuses.
You'd rather have the consistent guy who makes no plays over the guy who potentially could make some big plays.
Well, I think Chung still has the potential to make some plays.
Right, but McCourty
has
made big plays.
I think McCourty has the potential to make big plays, just not the kind I want.
But he has made big plays that you do want.
Sure.
They all came in the first year. But
yeah. I think I'm telling you, I have my doubts as to whether we're ever going to see a good Devin McCourty again.
Well, I definitely have my doubts about that. And I'll tell you, the biggest eye-opener for that was our conversation with Fred. When months ago asked us what we thought would be more likely, him returning to his rookie year and he said he wasn't sure.
That was Eric's one contribution to this show.
That's right. It was.
Paul was all happy that
I was proud of you. I had a little tear in my eye. You contributed first time. But for Fred to not just immediately say, oh yeah, well he'll be back to it. Don't worry about it. He'll be back to his all pro status.
He gave you one of these.
Yeah. He has his worries.
This is a guy who thinks Trevor Scott's going to be like a Pro Bowl contributor.
This is
safety. That's true.
This is one of those things that if we could really do our jobs the way we really want to, and we had the time just to focus on this show, we could maybe go back and watch a lot of tape of him as a rookie and see, you know, how many times was the guy behind him and maybe the throw was off and he made a good play on the ball.
You calling him Tyrone Poole?
I'm wondering if maybe in retrospect he wasn't quite as good as a rookie as we thought he was based on what we saw last year.
Maybe he wasn't as bad last year as we thought he was.
Conversely, we'll go back and watch last year and see, well, how many times did he just like kind of pass off a guy in the safety?
And Matthew Slater or somebody.
They had ridiculous problems at safety all year. Did that contribute to his struggles? As with everything, it's probably a little bit in the middle on both years. He probably wasn't quite as bad as the naked eye made it look last year, and he wasn't as good as the naked eye made it look in 2010.
Okay.
I would keep McCourty still, though. I think a corner's harder to find than a safety.
Certainly. I do, too. Ninkovich.
But a bad corner's not hard to find.
Or Spikes. Ninkovich or Spikes?
Ninkovich.
I would keep Ninkovich, too.
Known commodity.
I would keep Ninkovich, but that... The age thing there is tough.
Yeah. I'm looking more at the position need and the fact that...
Injuries, drugs,
every once in a while you can get something out of Rob Ninkovich,
I'm going strictly out of reliability.
Me too.
Ninkovich, I know what I'm going to get out of him.
Because I actually think probably Spikes could be a better player.
Oh, I think he... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pow.
I think he's more talented.
Yeah, sure, but doesn't always exhibit that.
That's true.
Okay.
Potential only gets you so far. At some point, it needs to turn to production.
Another one, and this is his strangest one so far, just
he's not
because
just
of the
big.
Position difference. But Mayo or Solder? And in that case, I would keep Solder.
I would keep Solder for the same reason I would keep Lloyd. I don't really know if they have another left tackle. I mean, I know Vollmer could probably play left tackle, but entering his free agent year, back problems. Mm-hmm.
I think Solder has a chance to be a franchise left tackle. Mayo has already proven he's not a Ray Lewis, so
I would keep Solder. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a weird one, but
I like it.
Yeah, no, they're, I do too.
Really, really good. Mark does a really good job of picking guys,
and he has out. The last one he picks is really the easiest one.
Eric or Andy?
No,
Andy.
No. No. Kevin Collins.
The other. Whatever's next.
I'm not even going to read what's next.
Did he actually write anything that was next?
He did. Or anyone who's ever worked behind the glass. Gary, Two Gender, Tacoma, LaPan, Ray Ray, latest intern, etc.
Yeah.
That's got to leave a mark, doesn't it?
I'd take the field. Smart bet, Andy.
That was Mark from Cheddar. Good stuff, Mark. All right.
Could have been Jerry Sandusky, and I might have taken him over Kevin Collins.
Now see that.
Oh, that's when you got too soon.
That's when.
Wait, what?
Too soon, too far.
Death penalty?
No.
For Andy or the program?
I don't understand why we're punishing everybody else for a few people being terrible.
I actually feel strongly about it. I don't think they should get the death penalty.
No, I
and
don't.
The reason that I think it's different, and I haven't heard anybody really articulate this, all I keep hearing is about what about the innocent kids, you know, on the team? And that's an element of it, but I think when you do this in college, when you do sanctions in college, you are punishing the people that were responsible for the actions, who are generally still at the university in some capacity. The AD, the president, if the coach is still there, the players are usually involved in these transgressions. In this case, the transgressions had nothing to do with the football team itself.
Right.
It was the football coaches.
Both of whom
and
are not
the school's
there
administration.
Exactly.
Which is wiped out. Now, I have no problems if they come in and say, you need to get rid of more than you've gotten rid of, because I'm sure this spreads a lot wider than just the people we know about.
That's fine.
But
I'd have no problem with that.
It doesn't have anything to, and this has nothing to do with my affection for Bill O'Brien either.
Yeah, could have been a little bit does, because I don't want to see him get screwed.
Yeah, I think he
would
be getting screwed.
But whoever took that
really,
job, that would have been my thing.
I would
too.
Feel the same way, even if, unless it was like a guy I really hated. I would feel the same way.
Blow it up!
Bo Pelini could get that job. I'd be rooting for the death penalty.
He gave us quotes for our story, though.
But my point is, generally, you're criticizing. I mean, you're punishing the people that were responsible. In my opinion, in this case, those people have been dealt with.
Right.
I mean, Paterno's dead.
Right.
Sandusky's in jail, and all of the administrators have been
According
fired.
To Andy.
Now, as long as you're real, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. As long as those guys have all truly been wiped out, and I know that I've been hearing stories about Spaniards still around and still, you know, these guys, Schultz or whoever. I don't know. All the different guys and what they're doing, but as long as you're telling me you're cleaning house, that board of trustees that needs to be looked at.
Right.
All these people, there's a lot of far-reaching layers to this. As long as you're dealing with all those, I don't think the football team needs to be wiped out for a year or two.
No,
to start this over.
I flat out think it shouldn't be.
If you want to take some of the revenues away from them, and you know part of it, you know some sort of punishment, say, let's take a percentage of the revenues that you make at your home games this year and give them to the victims.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Right. Yeah, I actually asked my wife this morning. I said, because you know about the story, but, you know, aren't really a sports person, whatever. And she said she thinks it's absolutely ridiculous if they get the death penalty or any, because the way we likened it was like, it's like one husband beat his wife and then she remarries. And like, there's some sanction against, they can't buy a house because you're a domestic violence. Well, wait, what? I didn't hit her. He hit her.
Right.
Like, you're punishing, and you punish everyone. You're punishing the swimmers who are on scholarship, and I mean, all the money comes from football.
Absolutely.
So you're pulling the rug out from everything.
Yeah. And they keep
I just
using
don't see
term,
how it makes any sense.
They keep using the term a lack of institutional control, and I wholeheartedly agree with that.
But
the institution is gone.
And to me, the institution isn't even the institution of falling under the NCAA umbrella. It falls under the umbrella of Pennsylvania State. The people that run, the governor, however state universities work, it was the Penn State, not Penn State Athletics.
Mm-hmm.
This was a university,
university
problem.
Problem. Exactly.
So the NCAA isn't going to punish some scientist who messed up at Penn State. So I don't think this is a legal and institutional issue,
mm-hmm.
not really an athletic issue. There's no this, NCAA should sanction when, some guy gets $50,000 extra, all that crap.
See,
this is a legal issue and a state issue.
If Joe Paterno were alive and let's say he was 20 years younger or whatever, and he was still, by all means, death penalty.
Then absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
By all means.
Yep.
Death penalty.
Yep.
But he killed himself. He got the death penalty.
But, he's not there And all of the people need to be wiped out. Now, maybe that's something that's impossible without doing the death penalty. And if the NCAA went in or whatever.
You mean fired? Not.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean eradicated from the earth.
Well, because Andy's talking about people offing themselves and, you know.
But
I just want to be clear.
How
is that impossible?
No, I'm saying
it's got to be possible. If you have to get rid of the school president, you get rid of the school president.
No, but like you just said, Andy,
get rid of the board. Whoever you have to get rid of, get rid of them.
But like you just said, Andy, you know, they're not going to punish the science department. Well, maybe the science department has a problem in it, you know. But I'm saying you don't think there's like professors and that were involved in like that knew or whatever.
Well, then they're gone.
That's what I'm saying.
Anybody you can prove you knew, they were gone.
But that's what I'm saying. You do that to the best of your ability.
Right. It's got nothing to do with football, though.
I couldn't agree more.
I think they
you realize how much in the minority we are on that.
Not really.
And believe me, no one is more appalled at the whole situation than I am. But I just don't think that given the death penalty does any more to help anybody.
I think they still need to get rid of the statue, though.
Well, oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
The statue, Andy actually had a great idea.
Deidre actually read that. It's happening.
What?
They're knocking down the showers and the
Really?
The facilities that
Andy
were part of
Andy wants to
it.
Wipe out the whole building. The latch
I think you have
latch
to.
Building.
Yeah.
The latch.
I think you have
just
to.
Get rid of everything.
You can't have
that
recruits coming in
every,
and thinking,
every,
hey, that's
every
where
symbolic
the kids are
right. element of the molestation you just get rid of.
Wow.
And start over. It's like you're building over.
And take the statue down.
Yeah.
Well, they already took down his halo, thank God.
The statue.
Halo?
He had a halo
on
the
mural. Oh, you
didn't
hear,
the,
but there was a mural that was painted, and the guy who did it actually painted a halo over Paterno's head, like, recently, like, when this came out, like, in November.
Yeah,
or
the halo went on in the fall, and now went
breaking off. Of the,
yes,
the,
oh. And now that he realized the scope of Paterno's involvement, he got rid of it.
And now he's, because there's others on there, I don't know which of the other main characters are on there, but he's talking about putting a blindfold on them and leaving them up, but putting blindfolds over them because they obviously were blindfolded.
Turned a blind eye.
Yeah. All right. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Join in the conversation if you like, either of those ways, or tweet us. We'll be right back after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. We're having a grand opening sale to celebrate our new Kenmore Square location. Right now, you can get Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Beautiful spring weather, Fenway's 100th birthday, and great deals on Red Sox tickets with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square. You just can't go wrong. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or go to aceticket.com from any device.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone!
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad.
An exterminator.
Sleepaway camp.
Engaged.
He fractured what?
Paid for your mother's flight.
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made nationals. Great. Where are nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
It's time to get down to the oldies with Paul Perillo.
Paul, big news in the disco. Donna Summer is dead.
No!
What did she sing?
Hot Stuff, Bad Girls.
Last Dance, right?
Last Dance.
I've heard her part. Knows her part.
She works hard for her money, yeah, on the radio. Fred likes to paint this picture of me, you know, at the discos in my prime. I would have had to have been about four at the discos.
Patched.
I like disco.
Donna
I'm
Summer.
Not afraid to admit it.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Oh, yeah. More than one.
Oh, yeah.
I love disco. I do. Still do.
Now, back to the Disco Kings of PFW in Progress. Paul Boogie Nights Perillo and Fred Roller Coaster of Love Kirsch.
Roller coaster of love.
Maybe Fred's at the disco this week.
Maybe.
You think he's getting down with his bad self?
Because he originally had a trip planned, right? And that evidently fell through, so.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
So we don't know where the hell he is.
Well, he got back to me yesterday. I emailed him something, work-related.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you guys weren't concerned with it. But
nope.
He got back to me relatively quickly. So.
Is he? He didn't say where he was, though.
No, not that that means he's here, because obviously in this day and age.
I like to think he's somewhere else.
Could have answered that from anywhere.
Enjoying himself somewhere.
By the way,
yeah.
I completely stand by my take on disco. Like, you can make all the bits you want.
I didn't make the bits.
I love disco.
Consider the source of the bits.
No, I think it's funny, but I don't find it like embarrassing. I think usually when you make those, it's supposed to be kind of embarrassing to the person that you're mm-hmm. making fun of.
That wasn't intended to embarrass
you. I don't find it in any way embarrassing.
Fred wanted to embarrass
Fred did, yeah.
You had a Donna Summer album?
Yeah, but he doesn't have any problem with me liking disco.
He wanted to embarrass you because you had
he
the
did.
Album.
Yeah.
The tone of his voice was definitely...
Had a lot of Donna Summer albums.
All right.
Earth, Wind & Fire.
All right. Earlier, Eric, read an email.
Earlier today, if you were one of the lucky few who got through to Ticketmaster, you were able to purchase tickets, single game tickets for the Patriots this year. Apparently a lot of people on the Twitter and even Mikey Vandalism here who's writing in did not...
not happy.
Not have as much luck.
Andy, your boy's on First Take.
Bo?
James Starks.
Jimmy.
His other boy. Mikey Vandalism says, I am beyond heated. I sat online on Ticketmaster at 9:30, a full half hour before Patriots tickets went on sale for this season. I had six windows, open and ready. I refreshed them until 10 a.m. this morning. Couldn't get tickets to any games. Now, I know tickets are indeed limited to games. Yes, that's right. You can't get tickets to concerts or anything like that.
That's not what he meant by that.
I knew what he meant, you dink.
But how could it be at the strike of 10 a.m. when tickets are supposed to go on sale, tickets are unavailable? What's the point in even releasing them to the public if there are that few tickets? I'm beyond infuriated.
Some people
so he's
got
beyond
them, you know.
Heated, now he's beyond infuriated. Some people got them. Now
Maybe
I have,
they had eight windows open.
Now he says I have to pay double or even triple face value for some filthy, bottom-feeding, degenerate scalper, even if I want to go to a game
not
this season.
Not if you
season.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's true.
Ticketmaster is ridiculous. I'm not a fan. Is there any way I can get tickets that aren't completely dreadful at a reasonable price and not scalped prices? The system is flawed. There should be a better way for real fans to get to enjoy the games without giving up a limb to see it. I may join the list and hope I can get tickets before I'm 50. Mikey Vandalism, East Haven. Beyond...
He should join
you know
the
those
list.
You know those ticket agencies are culturally biased.
Yeah, I don't know that you'll have to pay two and three times. I
yeah, my,
I think those
my suggestion would be to wait.
I don't
wait,
know if you've heard the NFL is worried because it's losing a lot of people to home watching of games.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, did we talk about the replay thing?
The
that they're going to show all the
NFL
replays
rewind
in stadium
thing.
Yeah, I had that in somewhere. What? Did I put that in first down last week? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't read. I wasn't part of that issue, Paul.
I should have known better.
Well, you put something in, but it said, like, replica instead of replay.
The only thing is you didn't see that because it wasn't in a big headline.
Well, I didn't see the headline either until somebody pointed it out.
Is this the cartoon-esque bickering that TJ was referring to earlier?
Probably.
No, I think that's interesting, the way teams have shied away from showing controversial replays, especially if it went against the home team. Now they have to show
them. But that's been going on for... Oh, they have to show
them. They have to show the replays.
Everything that the refs see in the replay.
You're going to see exactly what the referee sees when he looks at a replay.
Theoretically. You know, unless the board goes down.
Unless Kevin's running the... the board
this
back
is
there.
No, but that Bill has a legitimate out. He has a moron running the board.
That's true.
So he can always say,
"You finally found a way to use your incompetence for you."
Do whatever
There's
I can to help.
Plausible deniability when you have that man in charge of anything, including lunch.
L'incompetent.
Yes.
No problems with lunch today, though.
No, I didn't have any problems.
No? That's because the girl was back. The regular girl who takes the order
got
was back.
She got her teeth.
She got a teeth put back in.
Craig.
But that is the back to Mikey vandalism. You got to play the waiting game. You got to wait these agencies out, and especially I don't know if you have a specific game that you want to go to, but especially I would say if you want to go to a playoff game, tickets become available.
All right,
I have a lot of friends that have had good success.
What about the
playing the waiting game? Now I don't want to guarantee anything because I don't, you know, I don't want you to get shut out and then say, "Oh, you know, you shaved me wrong."
Paul. But what's the company that is now in
cahoots
in cahoots with the league? Or isn't there the ticket reselling thing?
Well, Ticketmaster is the official that ticket
you have
exchange.
Ticket exchange. That was the thing.
That's Ticketmaster.
Okay, so there is
with us. It's the isn't it in here? Aren't they a sponsor? Ace Ticket or something?
Ace Ticket Hotline.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, but the NFL's thing where they want fans
morons.
To feed the...
Bleeping morons.
That ticket exchange thing, though, that's being encouraged by the league, no?
But I think you have to, like, belong to the list or something to do that, don't you? Isn't there some... Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure
I think
how it works,
official thing is among season ticket holders to resell their tickets, right?
But I think if you're on the list, you can buy them, too.
So was that the... Is that the list that Mikey was talking about, or was he talking about the season ticket holder list?
It's all one list.
So if you get
on that list, you get special benefits, opportunities, things.
Well, then you should, that's what he should do, then.
They charge you.
Oh, they do?
I think it's a minimal fee.
So it's like a PSL to be on the...
No, I think it's only like $50 or $20 or $10.
But for, you know, Mikey Vandalism's a college kid, $50 is hard to come by.
We know so little about what goes on around here. It's amazing. Startling, even.
Maybe we can answer.
It's amazing how when you don't have to worry about getting a ticket to go to the game that you just completely tune it all out.
Exactly.
Because I agree with you. I couldn't even begin to tell you how to get a ticket on the secondary market.
I could.
You know, nowadays with all this stuff.
Ace Ticket Hotline.
Well, hopefully we can
answer. But people do this stuff.
Craig,
you know,
you
probably do it for other sports, right?
Yeah, I do it a lot, and I do it for like.
So why don't you chime in and give us some information? Well, make yourself useful.
I do it for my my parents too to come to these games because I'm like you guys.
So what do you do?
like you guys, I don't get it. Always comes back to him.
It's always about what he doesn't get.
So for football,
you know what he doesn't get anything.
That's true.
Everything.
I don't get anything. That is
moron.
True. But for football, sometimes the best luck that I've had getting a ticket at face value and skipping all the Ticketmaster charges. If you come down like the Tuesday or Wednesday before a home game and you go out to the ticket office, usually they'll release some seats in the midweek and you can buy a ticket for face value right from the ticket window, and that's when I've had my best luck.
So I think that's something that you might want to keep in mind.
And those seats aren't available over the internet, and they're not available if you call in Ticketmaster. They're only available if you show up and go to the ticket window.
So, Mikey, buy lunch if you can do that, I would suggest doing it. If you can't get here in person yourself... I would suggest bugging Kevin and seeing if he can maybe do it for you.
Or try Ace Ticket.
Or if you give me $20, I'll do it.
Or if you want to pay a fee.
We call it a handling fee.
You're one of those low-level degenerate scalpers he was talking about.
If you don't want to have it go to, you know, a ticket agency, but instead you want it to go to the Will and TJ fund, yeah, I might be able to do that for you.
But I think what basically happens is the visiting team turns in a lot of the tickets that they don't use for their players and staff.
Well, both teams.
Yeah, both teams do. And I've had the best luck like on a Wednesday, right around lunchtime. I've shown up a few times and been able to snag a few
around lunchtime on Wednesdays.
Walk out. But yeah, I mean, that's I think if you go to you know, a StubHub or something like that,
Ace Ticket
Hotline.
But we like to say Ace Ticket.
But you pay, I think, plus face value, then all those convenience charges and this, that, and the other things.
Oh yeah, you get pumped up the pooper, unless you wait. Because as they've talked about with Red Sox, it used to be a crazy secondary market for them. It's not anymore.
And I think
you can
also
get below face value.
And I've never done it, but I think you can also have some luck, you know, planning a trip to the game and then also finding people who are selling their tickets day of game. And then as you wait closer to game time, they probably get a little more desperate to unload those seats.
Sure, yeah.
Especially for less attractive games. You know, the Denver game might be popular.
Right.
Jets game, whatever.
Jets,
but
yep.
Arizona. Who wants to go to that game?
I know a lot of people, actually, that want to go to that game.
Well, it is the Open.
next week, we start training camp next Thursday. First practice open to the public.
Hopefully it's not as hot as it is today.
Yeah, God, let's hope not. Craig in Brockville, Ontario, is making the drive. He says, guys, I'm coming down to training camp the days the Saints are here. Is the media tent near where the fans watch?
Nope.
I'm hoping to meet you guys while I'm down there.
Stay the bleep away from me.
And he's got 5 of 10 home games this year. So
from Canada, he's driving?
I guess.
How far is it from Ontario? Where is he?
Several hours.
Brockmire?
Brockville. I don't know where that is in relation to, say, Toronto. But
Toronto?
The Torontonians, as Joe Castiglione would say.
He's a Brockvillian.
So Mikey Vandalism is going to be pissed now. A guy from Ontario. He's got 5 out of 10 games. You're right. Maybe you should talk to Craig in Brockville.
You can come by the tent, say hello to Paul and Eric. They'll be happy to talk to you.
As long as you stay behind the rope, you know, away from a distance.
As long as it's not a weekend, I won't be here.
And luckily, they don't have morning practices anymore because he couldn't make those either.
Well, I'll be here. He can wave to me. That's fine. I'll be here on weekends and in the morning.
No one wants to meet you. Most people still think you're a douchebag.
And no one cares with how hard you think you work.
Let's see. We got a ticket. Josh from Arlington has some ticket advice. Tell Mikey if he joins the list, he gets to use the Patriots ticket exchange. You get to buy tickets to games at face value.
How much does it cost?
To be on the list?
Yeah.
Let me see if he says. It's a great way to get tickets to the game. They're always available. It's $200, but you save probably that much the first time you buy a couple or four tickets.
Good deal.
$200 for the season.
There are other perks.
Make it up after one game?
See, I can see Mike's point there, and I don't want to. Maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
But I think the list also includes some other benefits.
It does, I believe.
Like discounts in the pro
shop
and things.
And apparently Craig in Brockville is on the list because he writes back. He says the minimum is $200, $100 deposit for each seat to get on the list.
So it's $100 per seat.
That's a little bit more expensive than I...
That's $100 a seat.
Well,
thanks.
Now, is that a one-time or is that a yearly?
They don't say. I'm assuming it's... yearly.
Why'd you read an email?
Dan in Virginia.
Thanks forever.
Well, I've got several up here. I'm trying to decide which one I want to go with here.
Anyone would be better than the dead air after that little discussion.
Dan from Virginia, thanks for another great show. Maybe his stream hasn't been working too well. On recent shows, there have been some discussions and hypotheticals regarding what happens to the Patriots after Bill and Tom finish their careers. There'll, of course, be a drop-off in team performance, given that these two are among the best, if not the best, that have ever been in those positions in football. Will it be as bad as it could be, however, given the team ownership and still, hopefully, given the team ownership will still hopefully be the same? How much can we rely on the Kraft family to make better decisions on top personnel than maybe the owners of some other teams and mitigate the drop-off? On the Welker discussion, I think you've captured it pretty well in terms of potential scenarios, and given what happened to Seymour, anything's possible. Of course, I'd like him to stay, but how much of what the Pats would lose with Welker would be made up for by Lloyd and expanded role for Hernandez, and particularly Edelman and Davis getting a chance to step up and shine. Wow, going with Britt Davis there.
Paul likes him.
Oh, I know. I
thought he flashed.
He's a sleeper to
I thought
to
he
watch.
Flashed in the spring. By no means am I expecting him to have a role on the team. He's a big-time long shot to even stick around, but I thought he flashed.
So his
experience in the system might give him a leg up on the average young, unknown receiver.
Dan's main point here is when Bill and Brady are no longer here, how much will the Kraft's business acumen, I guess, help in mitigating the drop-off?
It'll help. I have faith in them. I think they're pretty good businessmen who know the NFL and the way it works pretty damn well.
Yeah, I think that certainly it would be worse if you lost your ownership, too, if Mr. Kraft just decided, you know what, when Bill leaves and Tom goes, I'm going to sell the team. Yeah, that would be even worse moving forward than it is now. But I think they have a
it'd be hard to
they
see
have a great ownership group here. I think they do a great job. I don't see how that mitigates the loss of two of the all-time best, as the emailer put it.
Well, but no, it just doesn't compound it.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they lost the owners, too, it would be worse.
But do you see
but I don't think it really mitigates
to...
it. In much of
you know,
a way.
The dark days in the late 80s, early 90s, when they were winning one, two
games
a year.
Well, no, I don't
think
they'll be a laughingstock because they have leadership. They won't be a laughingstock.
And they have financial stability.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean,
even beyond the leadership, they have the resources and the revenue streams to sign people, give people the contracts. You won't have – I mean – they went through that phase like in the early 80s where every single player wanted out and they couldn't get a contract
done. You
have
stability that you didn't have when Billy Sullivan was here and then certainly going with Kiam and Orthwine. But I don't think that you have an advantage over other teams in that regard.
A little bit.
Not every other team, I should say. Not, you know, there were teams
that
don't have.
That guy down in Miami?
Yeah, you don't have stability everywhere. But, you know, Pittsburgh has lost their coaches and their quarterbacks and whatnot, and they have a steady ownership. The Giants have made it through different, you know, coaching and quarterback leadership, and they've made it through. And other teams have as well. The Patriots will do so. The Patriots will move on. They will not be, I don't think, the favorite to win the Super Bowl the year after Bill and Tom left, if that happened to be the same year. I mean, certainly they wouldn't be a favorite to win without those guys. But like Andy said, you have that stability that you never had back in the 80s when Billy Sullivan was here and just, quite frankly, didn't have enough money to own our football team.
Plus, you'll have Josh McDaniels as the coach.
They went 11-5 with Matt Cassel without Brady.
That's your contribution over there?
I mean, they might be all right without Brady. Down the road.
Well, Boston Dave wants to stay in that general area of pre-Bill and Brady, pre-Kraft. He says, do any of us think that there's a Patriot player prior to the Belichick and Brady era that's deserving of enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? For me, it would be Stanley Morgan.
Stanley Morgan, yes.
Compare what he did with what Lynn Swann did, and Morgan is deserving. I do understand that Swann holds numerous postseason records, but I'd argue that Morgan did more with less. Curious for your thoughts. And his numbers he gave, Morgan, 557 receptions, 10,716 yards, 19.2 average per catch, 72 TDs. Swann.
19.2 yards per catch.
Per catch.
For his career.
Average, yeah.
Wow.
Swann, 336. 54-62, that's, I mean, half the yardage. 16.3 average, not bad. And 51 TDs.
Yeah, there's a lot of wide receivers in the Hall of Fame that do not have Stanley Morgan's numbers. Now, is he a Hall of Fame snub? Probably not. I do think that, unfortunately, postseason stuff counts. Probably in that league more than any other when it comes to the Hall of Fame. What you do in the postseason and how many times you get to the postseason. Stanley Morgan didn't play on a lot of great teams. I think he was only in the playoffs, you know, maybe three or four times. You know,
yeah.
So that works against him. But he was a truly elite wide receiver, worthy of being among the greats.
He might be the only.
And he did it for a long time, too. You know how we always talk about, like Dante Stallworth we were talking about, you know, how long can you be that speed burner on the outside? At some point, you lose a step. We used to say it with Randy Moss. Stanley Morgan did it for like 16 years, you know, and always the same kind of vertical threat down the field. He wasn't catching a lot of screens, I'll tell you that, out of those catches.
He's probably at the top of the list, Morgan. I might say... Bledsoe's favorite target, Ben Coates, has a chance to get in there.
Yeah, I would consider him, you know, not before Kraft, even though he was drafted before Kraft got here. But I also don't think I would put Russ Francis over him in terms of a tight end. But I don't think Ben Coates.
Russ Francis had more impact than
I think he was a better
Coates
player.
Did.
He didn't have the numbers because it was a
different
game.
Different type of game.
There's another guy.
Bill certainly raved about him.
Tight end. He averaged, I think, like 15 and change per catch. Tight end. Vertical threat. Definitely an athletic tight end.
But some of that is
a product of not catching as many passes to lower that number.
I mean, Wes Welker could say, well, if you only threw me three passes but everyone was down the field, I'd have a higher average.
He would average 9.8 yards per catch on his three catches.
Mm. And you'd pay him $50 million for it.
At a moment of weakness and emotional. I had an emotional outburst.
No, my point is, if he didn't run all his routes within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, his catches would be longer.
Yeah, but he would have about 85 fewer of them.
Right. But he might average 16 a catch, because if he catches three
for 50.
Yeah,
but it wouldn't be for over 10,000 yards for his career, is my point. That's the number that's impressive there is Stanley Morgan had over
years he might.
He had over 10,000 yards receiving and averaged almost 20 yards a catch.
Because it's not he played a long time.
It's not like he averaged 2,000. He had 2,000 yards and averaged 20 yards a catch. Then no, I would dismiss
part
it.
Part of that
is
because he played a long time. Like, that's why Lynn Swann averaged 16 yards a catch. He has a lot less catches. So he has a lot less yards.
But he didn't play a lot less time.
No, but you're talking about the impressive average. And that's all I'm saying is if Wes Welker played in a game where every time you caught it, it was a 16-yard catch, his average would be more impressive. He would not have 120 catches. He would have 35 or 40, like Morgan did.
I mean, I suppose, I don't know.
I think it's a product of the system. I think the NFL became a short passing game.
Certainly.
And that has blown up catches and blown down averages.
That part is inarguable.
And I think there was a they played a different game back then where it was run, throw, deep.
Yep.
Yeah. Run, throw, deep.
Yeah. I don't think that Wes Welker was capable of being the run, throw, deep guy.
No, he isn't, because he's
not a 4-3
guy. But my point is, everybody in this era is hurt by the era if you're going to consider yards per catch. Everybody in that era was helped by the era if you're going to consider yards per catch.
Yeah, but
it's a different number.
But even in this era, Wes Welker's average is much lower than a lot of other people.
Right, because he's a slot receiver.
Like Calvin Johnson, to me, is the guy that I would say.
I think everybody.
In that era, he would have averaged 20 yards a catch.
I think every receiver that plays now is a product of the era, where short passing is more a part of the game than it was back then.
Like I said.
And I think every receiver in that era benefited from long passing being a part of the game. It's inarguable, but we're arguing.
No, I'm arguing about what you would think Welker would be in that era.
I think Welker wouldn't play in that era. That's what I think of him. But I think if you allowed him to run down the field and catch the ball 15 to 20 yards downfield every time,
I don't
he'd
think
catch
he would catch
passes.
40 passes a year.
He
I don't.
And Stanley Morgan barely did.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I don't think so. I wasn't around for that, but I don't remember looking at it. I remember
talk
thinking
yourselves.
He's got, you know, 40 type, that's what he caught.
Canadian Mike from Florida has some more ticket advice for our guy, Mikey Vandalism.
Good
says,
pony up the $200 and get on the list.
Well, this is a little bit more expensive, though. Your best
more expensive than $200.
Your best bet is to buy a plane ticket to Florida and see them play the Dolphins and the Jags.
And it's a better viewing
venue.
Well, no, I was thinking more of the hot babes around you and fake breasts bouncing up and down the aisle.
Part of the venue, yeah. It'll probably be cheaper to get a package deal to Florida as opposed to buying a $400 ticket back in Boston. You'll get to see the Pats, take a vacation for the same price. Last year, I paid $60.
You're right.
To see them play in Miami.
What am I right about?
He had. In 1986, he caught 84 passes for 1,491 yards. That was far and away the only time he ever got over 50 catches.
Is he a stupid Super Bowl guy? Had they, like, won the Super Bowl, would he be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, that's kind of what I'm talking about. The postseason stuff is the reason why.
I think he might have
been. What did he do that postseason?
They don't have that here.
I'll look it up.
See, he's good for
but
something.
But the year they went to the Super Bowl, he only had 39 catches.
Well, yeah, if they had won the Super Bowl, too, I think Andre would have been voted in earlier.
Yeah, probably.
So I
but yeah, he had a steady string of like 45, 46, 44, 39. You're right. He had
Morgan's
between 35 and 50 catches
sooner.
Every year,
didn't
except
do much
for
in the
1 year, 86.
Didn't really do anything in the playoffs.
What do you have? I know caught a bomb for a touchdown against the Jets in that wild card game. I remember that.
Yeah, 4 for 62, 1 touchdown against the Jets. He had 3 for 100 in 86. Against Denver, but that was the most he's ever had.
And Andy cries.
When Beeson took the safety, and my history teacher said to me on the following Monday, "Paul, you have no idea how much that safety just cost me." Denver was favored by 3.5. Pats were losing by 3 in the waning seconds, and Tony Eason took a dive in the end zone to make it a 5-point game. My history teacher was despondent for weeks.
All right. Moving on to
high school.
Staying with
the
receiver topic.
Of fact,
moving
junior
on to
high school or senior
current
high school.
Receivers. Joel from Attleboro, longtime listener, first time emailer. By the way, the stream seems to be getting better. Anyways,
it's not what I've heard from other listeners.
On to football.
He's even arguing with people who say the stream's getting better
because it's not.
My query is regarding the state of the receivers.
McQuarrie, guy who should have turned in Sandusky?
No. I know it's way too early even to think about next season, but just some food for thought would be a good discussion topic. How do you see our receiver set playing out next season? What I mean is that all our receivers...
Is it next season this season?
What I mean is all our receivers so far, with the exception of Edelman and Slater, seem to be at the tail end of their careers, i.e. Lloyd, Welker. So I was wondering what you think the Pats will focus on. The need for more youth, at least a second-round pick. A big outside receiver in the draft. Not necessarily a big a burner, but a big body guy like we had with Givens, who could make good catches and be reliable.
I think that's something that they're going to need to look into. They need to get a talented young receiver. And unless one
like
of
Danny
these guys
Amendola?
That, no, unless one
talented.
Of these guys that we don't know about right now turns out to be something a lot more than we, you know, like a Britt Davis someone brought up, which I think is really, really unrealistic to expect.
Especially since he's like 26.
If something like that comes out of nowhere, then maybe it lessens the need a little bit. But I do think, I agree with the emailer, you know, first or second round guy, bigger target, outside receiver, not a guy that, you know, is another Smurf that operates in between the numbers. You need somebody who can do some different things. Givens wasn't the biggest guy, but his description of him was accurate. He wasn't huge, but he made all different kinds of catches. You could run 15-yard outs to him. You could throw the ball across the middle to him. He was physical. He was tough. He wasn't a burner.
Intermediate receiver.
But he was a good intermediate receiver. Right? It's a good way.
And we had heard that
they need somebody like that.
We'd heard that they were looking at some of the higher-tier receivers last year.
Good point.
So we know that they are aware of the situation.
And there was also, you know, I hope this doesn't turn out to be the same case, but remember in 2011, we were all looking for that edge guy and the pass rusher, and there were a lot of those guys that ended up getting drafted. The Patriots weren't involved in any of them. Last year, there were a ton of wide receivers, most of which were over 6 feet tall, that seemed to sort of fit the description of what the Patriots needed. I hope it's not a situation where next year it's the same thing. You know, this year they ended up taking the pass rushers a year after all the good pass rushers we thought were available. Hopefully Chandler Jones and Jake Beckett.
You seem to be saying that they're not going to be good.
No, I'm saying hopefully Chandler Jones and Jake Beckett work out and they don't pay for it. Same thing next year. Hopefully they get a wide receiver like all the guys, you know, the Floyds and, you know, Stephen Hill. I know some people don't think that, you know, he can play and all that stuff. But a big guy who can run and make plays on the outside, I think they need a young guy like that in this offense moving forward, because you do have a chance to lose 3-4 receivers next year.
Right.
You know, Lloyd will probably still be here, but after that,
maybe
Branch, Gaffney, Welker,
yep.
All three of those guys have a legitimate shot to not be on the Patriots next year.
And the one guy you're counting on staying doesn't stay anywhere.
Stallworth, too, I would add into that.
Yep. And RJ from Colorado Springs is worried about Welker going somewhere, and he says, let's say Welker plays out this year, gets in the ballpark of 90 catches. We franchise him. He signs specifically so he can be traded away. Where is it likely he ends up in a trade situation? And what could we possibly get for him depending on where he signs? San Diego keeps coming to mind for me for some reason.
I'm going to say Oakland, because that seems to be the team we trade with.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I would say that it would be unlikely to be within the division, but other than that, I really have no idea.
San Diego might be coming to your mind because that's the first team you ever played for. Maybe you're thinking about, you know, where he started his career.
They don't really have a slot guy because they kind of use Gates as that guy. And they have
Detroit.
They have used Gates as that guy.
Ooh,
for a
go
while.
Go pair him with Megatron and Matthew Stafford.
That would be
an outlet guy in the slot. Mm. Plus Schwartzy and Bill, you know, they're tight. Bruh.
Are you insane?
Yes. Yes.
Do you take your meds before the show?
Yep. Yeah, my meds right there. I had some.
We do like to argue distances and maps on this show. Craig,
I heard.
Craig,
no, 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 no,
Craig
no.
In Ontario.
You and Fred do.
Right?
Don't lump us all in with your.
Oh, you weren't here for that?
No.
You heard some of the tail end of that.
No, I read the tweets and the emails saying, please make it stop.
Craig says it's 6 hours from Ontario to Foxborough.
You know what all you people do when you answer it is you fuel it, you continue it, you extend the story.
Right.
Just stop.
No. I'm in the Thousand Islands region of the... Oh, they make good salad.
Thousand Islands?
There.
That's a place?
I guess so.
Is there really?
I guess so. He says
Thousand... Are there Thousand Islands?
Oh, are there really 1,000 islands?
Kind of like 1,000 lakes or whatever it is in Minnesota?
10,000 lakes in Minnesota?
Yeah, give or take 9,000.
Says it's not a bad drive. The as far as the tickets, the list is a one-time fee. Doesn't give you It does give you a cheaper per ticket price, so there are benefits.
Yeah. Sign the list.
But
join
it gives you tickets at face value, does it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
According to the emailers.
Okay.
I don't know anything about the
list. I don't either. So Scott from Doesn't Say Where. To my friends at PFW, this is a nice little letter introduction here.
Somewhere it tells me we're going to take a quick turn for the
Disco
worse.
Paul, Toucan Sam, and angry flatulating midget.
I am not a midget. I am very average in height.
Notice he didn't debate the other two
is descriptions. Well, yeah, no, the others are accurate. But I'm very average.
I'm curious. This is Scott from Doesn't Say Where.
Curious?
As to how many former first-rounders are left on the Patriots roster.
Thousands.
It seems like
they added like 15 this offseason.
Yeah. Seems like every couple years the team vacillates between wanting captains from schools or focusing on multipurpose players and players from other sports like wrestling, rugby, curling, etc. But the latest seems to be former first-rounders' current failures. We picked up a whole draft class in free agent first-rounders from the free agent market. Is it just a player personnel guy, GM thing that this coach can perform miracles? Bobby Carpenter, how long in the tooth is this can't-miss kid, in quotes, from when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated? Now explain that to Andy, Paul.
He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated? Wasn't that Andy Katzenmoyer?
Yeah,
I'm
not sure.
Andy Katzenmoyer.
Yeah, I don't think Bobby Carpenter
the other guy.
Is the guy, or
he
A.J. Hawk.
He was never the big linebacker at Ohio State.
No, we liked
it
him.
It was Hawk. It was way back when Katzmoyer, it was Laurinaitis.
Laurinaitis.
He was always like a versatile second fiddle. He could do everything, which has been proven that he
and
can't do
it. That's why
anything.
We liked him, because we thought he would
inside
be a good
out.
Fit.
He could do it all. Inside out, pass rush, tackle
but
machine,
his
whatever.
Larger point is accurate. They have definitely taken a shine to former first-round picks. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad idea if you think about it, because you got to figure there's talent there that I can work with. It hasn't panned out for that guy yet, so I can get him at a discounted price, and I might have something.
It's not always talent.
Now, it hasn't always worked.
David, what's his name? David Michigan? David?
Terrell.
Jonathan Sullivan?
Yeah, it hasn't, that's what I said, it hasn't always worked. You know, Marcus Stroud. I mean, they brought guys in and...
Well, that didn't even get a chance to not work.
Guys haven't panned out for them, but I think that it's worth taking a risk on when you can bring in a guy who you think has the talent of a first-round pick. But isn't going to cost you the salary of a first round pick. And you did the clipboard within the last couple of months.
Ridiculous.
You don't remember how many? 12, 14, 15?
A lot.
Probably somewhere between 10 and 15 first round picks currently on the roster.
Ay mucho.
How many of them do you think make it? That was his other question.
We
that
can't even name the
I
list.
I can't tell you who they are.
Okay, I'll go down the list. Menkins will make it. Mayo will make it. Wilfork will make it. McCourty will make it.
Chandler Jones
will make it.
Hightower
will
make
it.
Yep.
Gerard Warren will not make it.
Not initially. He'll be on the team later on.
You have six on. I'm counting just how many first rounders. That's seven first rounders. Stallworth.
Bobby Carpenter will make it.
Okay.
I just threw that.
That's eight. Stallworth is
will make it.
That's nine.
Wow, going on a limb there, huh?
Soldier will make it.
Ten. You think Carpenter will make it, huh? Definitively,
know.
Huh?
No. Not definitively.
No.
I think he's a booble guy.
I thought he would definitively not make it, and then he got
Michael Bublé?
A lot of reps this spring. I'm going to regret putting stock in reps in the spring, but...
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought he was active in the spring, but might be just because they want to see what he is.
Yeah, what else we got? Will Allen will not make it.
That's 11.
Ooh, yeah.
And he's a Bublé guy, too.
Yep.
Robert Gallery will make it.
Yes.
12.
The highest of the picks.
That'd be 12.
I think we're missing one or two. Good radio.
All right, then. A lot of dead air. Nice.
This is when Eric hosts the show, dead air is...
That's why this isn't the highest-rated internet radio show in the country.
If we're lucky,
the
stream goes down
during
the
dead
air
and
then pops back up when we're talking.
They don't know it was dead air.
They're like, wow, that was seamless. It's weird. It dropped, but it was also seamless.
Simon and Molly, his 10-year-old daughter from England, not happy about the defense.
Is this the ones I met at the...
No.
The back room?
No, that's David. Just listen to your Thursday show.
When I left the Velvet Ropes for a short period of
time,
you
had to go to the bathroom.
I met a man and his nice daughter.
Andy likes to stay away from the general public. New guy.
Simon just listened to our Thursday show.
New guy's not paying attention to me.
He's not even listening.
On his dog walk.
Trying to find first round picks.
What?
Anyways. I'm giving you the Fred face.
If you Google
to read
it,
an email.
I did a blog entry on it. So.
Oh, you did?
It might come up.
Simon just listened to the Thursday show on the dog walk around the lanes in sunny England. I thought it had been really bad weather around there lately.
I don't know, but they need security guards.
Yeah, they do. I can relate to the caller who almost exploded talking about how bad the D was. As someone who came over with Molly, my 10-year-old daughter, for the Chargers game, then flew to Buffalo, dressed for a blizzard, no one can defend that defense. Forget points allowed or yards as the measure. Look at the abs and offenses that march all over the, I think he meant running backs, that marched all over them at will. Then check out the mistakes those teams made. Campbell's TD thrown straight at Chung, Sanchez twice, then down the stretch the power of Grossman, Matt Moore, Dan Orlovsky, Vince Young, and the theory we improved in the playoffs maybe had something to do with opponents, and maybe we even made Flacco look good.
Didn't Vince Young throw for like 400 yards in the first quarter?
But he was terrible.
And then after that he was terrible.
In the
yeah.
game.
Then the Giants, the worst team ever to win a Super Bowl, just did whatever they wanted. It wasn't bad. It was the worst, most embarrassing D ever. I've watched every game on the UK Game Pass this offseason. The D is painful and hilarious.
Something I told you in week two of last year.
Okay.
So that's that. He just wanted to vent. He wanted to get that off his chest.
I appreciate venting.
I think he takes it a little bit to the extremes. But
they were lousy.
I would tend to agree with the playoff thing. They shut down Denver, who had no offense.
They shut down themselves by putting in Tebow.
Baltimore, I thought, you know, a very average pedestrian offense was much better than it normally is. And the Giants, I think we've talked about the Super Bowl enough. It's one thing to keep the points down, which they found a way in it. You know, listen, I commend them for that. They found a way to stay in the game, but they never stopped the Giants all day. And that's one of the biggest reasons why the Patriots didn't score more than they scored. Because they didn't have the ball long enough to do it.
All right. 508-298-0398 is our ace ticket hotline. And Paul's favorite caller, Ken in North Carolina, is on. What's up, Ken?
Hey, how are you?
You want to say anything
right?
to Eric?
Pardon?
Aren't you the guy who called Eric an a-hole?
Yeah. That
and
was
for
it.
That, you're to be commended.
That's,
you
that's
are
water
the
under the bridge. Caller ever.
That's water
I do
under
have
the bridge.
A question for Eric.
Okay.
First of all, by the way, I have been lost your stream about four times during the
yeah, show. But at your age, that's to be expected.
That was Andy that time.
Eric.
That was Andy that time.
Don't swear because I want to hear your question to Eric.
You got okay, a prostate well, problem?
Again,
Eric,
that's Andy.
One question I've got for you.
Oh, boy.
Now, you really, and I agree with you, they don't need smoking.
Oh, the smoking in the stadium.
Violently allergic to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this was really a topic.
How can you love France, where everybody smokes?
It was difficult, but they have a rule
restaurant,
there now too.
Taxis everywhere. I figure the reason that you got teary looking at Versailles had nothing to do with the emotion, but all the people sitting around you smoking.
Well, it was actually the Louvre where I got a little misty
Louvre,
eye,
yeah.
But
this is a Louvre.
No, but they have a rule there now. You can't smoke in restaurants. You can only smoke at the outdoor part of the cafes. So,
okay.
So
well,
it's a little bit more tolerable. They make you smoke out in the open air. But yeah, it's pretty. All of Europe is like that. Everybody smokes over there. It's ridiculous. I don't know how.
Well, yeah, and man, I'll tell you, their cigarettes make ours look like light.
Swisher Sweets.
Do they have a high lung cancer rate there?
Don't know.
I honestly
That'd be an
don't
interesting
know.
Study. If they smoke more and don't die as much, why not?
Hey, and Paul, good to hear you back.
Hey,
really.
Thanks.
You did a great job on the roster report when you were doing it solo.
I thought he was going to say on Fridays.
Thank you for that. I did have
back-to-back
solo efforts.
Really?
The two Fridays
solos,
before
and,
you guys you know, actually evidently decided to show up for
arguing.
Work.
Well done, Ken.
Absolutely
nude.
Well done. Anything else, Ken?
Something you guys need to do.
Hang up on you.
See you, Ken. Anything else, Ken?
Yeah, you can hang up on me anytime you want.
All right.
Talk to you soon, Ken.
I'll hang up on you.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ken.
I like him. Called you an a-hole, and he's pretty
funny. Yeah. Oh, he obviously was joking.
I don't think so.
Maybe not at the time, but now he's gotten over it. That's okay. Scott says Bobby Carpenter, the hockey player, was the can't miss kid.
That is also correct.
Who does he play
from
for?
From St. John's Prep.
Oh, really?
Did he miss?
No, he made it.
Oh.
Who does he play for?
He retired about, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Oh. Thought it was a recent one.
So he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
So he missed. If he can't miss and he didn't make the Hall of Fame, then he missed.
He was like an 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, and they put him on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He had at least a 10-year NHL career. He didn't miss.
He missed. Unless he's in the Hall of Fame, he missed.
Okay.
We were talking earlier about the Hall of Fame.
Nor should he be.
Gronkowski and the summer of Gronk.
I'm not upset about it.
I just think it was not appropriate. No, it's...
You look down your extremely long nose on it.
No, it's not extremely long. It's just crooked.
It's pretty long. It sticks out.
Aquiline.
If that means sticks out far, then yes, it is aquiline.
It's hawk-shaped.
Sticks out like a seahawk.
But there was some talk. Somebody mentioned that there was criticism for what he said on the ESPYs carpet.
Yes.
And now we have the criticism.
Well, he says
this is Brian from Essex.
Yeah, I'm
taken from
this.
A Pro Football Talk article by Mike Florio, who
Andy, let's consider the source here.
Well, I want to consider the criticism first.
I wasn't necessarily saying the feedback was negative. However, critical, in quotes, in parentheses, overanalyzing. Yes, this is the quote from Florio. It's a shame he answered only two questions, because the obvious follow-up would have been what would constitute being respectful and everything, which could have prompted an answer that would have shed more light on Gronkowski's possible attitudes and biases than the superficial politically correct, sure, I'm fine with it response that any pro athlete is going to provide when speaking on the record. Gronkowski, unlike many pro athletes, applied a qualification to the standard response, and the explanation of Gronk's qualification could have been more revealing than his photo on the cover of the latest edition of ESPN the magazine. That's Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk.
I don't really find that critical.
It's more critical of the person who asked the questions than it is
absolutely.
Of Gronkowski.
Not of Gronkowski's answer.
ESPN homos.
I think
did that person really work for ESPN?
No, no. It was for that outsports.com.
Outsports.
Well, I didn't know if that was like
and
a...
And he said we're kind of like the ESPN.
You think maybe they were
offshoot or something.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it is.
ESPN has ties to everybody.
Well, maybe they have.
They have Grant Land. I didn't know if they had homos.
That's a good point. Maybe they do. I don't know.
All right. I'm going to say, just because the guy used that term
doesn't mean you
can
continue to say it
all the time.
How the hell can I talk about hell if I can't say hell?
He's going to get us punched off the air.
Punched off the air?
Yeah.
We're going to be out the building.
Luckily, if we're not behind bars. I made it this far.
Well, I got news for you. I got a long way to go.
Long?
Yes, I'm nowhere near retirement age.
At your weight.
Oh.
What do you mean you're nowhere near retirement age?
I'm not.
You're getting up there.
20 years at least.
On the whole Gronk thing, Vishon writes in from New York saying, I was reading the debate between Eric and Andy on the summer of Gronk, and I tend to side with Andy on this one. He's in the 51%. The man is young and is coming off the best season for a tight end ever. How can you possibly make the argument that his antics are a distraction? He's been the same guy he is now that he's been his entire life. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the situation.
You're right.
Well, no further discussion.
No further discussion needed.
He hasn't changed, not one bit.
No, he hasn't, but...
He lives life and plays football with the same energy.
So just out of curiosity, if that's your reasoning, Des Bryant hasn't changed a bit either.
Yeah, but
Des Bryant's always been a douche.
A DB. It affects him. Because he gets suspended or he gets...
Obviously, I was pulling an Andy there and exaggerating.
Nothing affects Gronk.
But you just go, he's always been that way, so...
Yes.
All right.
He's always gotten drunk in his off time.
Simon's
10... Well, it's true.
We'll end the show with Simon's 10-year-old daughter, who has a response of her own, saying, I was born the day Tom Brady made his first start against the Colts. 12:44 your time, Sunday, the 30th of September, 2001. My dog is called Tommy Brady... And all we want is a Super Bowl, please.
So the biggest hit of that day wasn't laid by Brian Cox. It was laid by another Cox.
That's the day she was born.
Doesn't even make sense.
Not conceived.
Oh, I thought
born.
It doesn't even make sense.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't make any sense.
Molly, earmuff him for us, please.
My bad.
Can you muff him, please?
You know
Simon.
Brian Cox.
Cox is pretty big in Rhode Island, right?
That was also the day that he had the...
I'm not the kind of man...
Yeah. Our show should make Cox bigger.
The highlight of my career transcribing.
Hopefully we'll
brackets,
be on the air
pat
Thursday
another man's back.
And not kicked off before then,
we
thanks to
be.
What Andy's been
Everybody's
saying.
Everybody's on vacation anyway. The whole stream is down. It probably broke up while I was saying that, so no one heard it.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that way on the download, where most of the people who listen to the show get the
show. It'll just not make sense
show.
Because I aired in my... Listening.
You
skills.
Aired, all right.
I wasn't listening.
You usually don't. You just spout off.
It's true.
All right, we'll see you noon Thursday.
Okay.
time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. And a message coming from my eyes says, leave it alone.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.